Hey, this is Kevin Smith, and you're listening to Radio Brendo Man, the only radio that matters with the name Brendo Man in it. If you're not listening to it, just what in God's name are you listening to? I can give you some options, but that would defeat the purpose of the plug. Brendo Man.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
And I took a nap, so I'm like wide awake.
Oh my gosh, I figured out. We need to do a PSA, like those old drug ones, but this is Brendo. This is Brendo on a nap. Because all of a sudden, like, he just got all this, I gotta do all these things, I gotta check all this stuff. But it's good. I'm glad you're energetic.
Well, it's because I didn't get to bed till, because we got home. And I thought I was going to go to bed.
That never happened.
But then I remembered that there was a pay-per-view, WWF pay-per-view that I had to watch.
Okay.
But then I got sidetracked in the middle of that, so I paused it. And then I, did stuff. And then I came back to it. So the time I was done, it was, midnight. And then I, watched some other TV. And I don't even remember what I did. No, I was playing the Pokemon Picross.
Oh, yeah.
And, I got way into that. Then I was reading a book, and I had to finish. And I'm like, oh, I'm almost done. So then I finished the book. So then I didn't get to bed till 3.
That's late.
And then I woke up at 7 in the morning to loud crying from my neighbor. And
then I made a Harry Potter reference because I said it sounds like you have Moaning Myrtle living next door to you.
It does. And then, so then I'm like, I waited for her to finish crying and then I tried to go back to sleep. But then she played Taylor Swift at full blast for 3 hours. So
because
I'm
of
like,
course.
Nope, this isn't happening. So then I read some other books, which we'll talk about at Book Corner.
Yes.
And then I'm like, well, I guess I'm up. And so then I got up and I, went about my day and then I was gonna try and watch Monday Night Raw live because there was a lot of chatter going on that something big was gonna happen.
Right.
And then I tried to, I was like, I'm getting tired, but I gotta at least stay up to the beginning of Raw, and then I'll take a nap until when Phil gets here. But I just fell asleep. Straight up, I was reading in my room, fell asleep, and when I woke up, it was 8:30. It was 4:30, and when I woke up, it was 8:30.
And this is why you're wired right now.
Yeah. Cause at first, I was in that post-nap haze, and then I had to turn on Monday Night Raw, and it turned out, Vince McMahon's son, Shane McMahon, who, left the company, years ago, made a surprise return. He's gonna wrestle The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And, this guy, this is so weird. This is one of those weird things about wrestling. And, Vince McMahon, he does crazy things to his family. And, cause back in the late 90s, Shane McMahon, his son, he's not a wrestler, but it turned out what he can do is he can do crazy things with his body and take a crazy amounts of pain. Cause he dove off of cages, fell 20 feet off of ladders. There was one of the more famous things that happened was they had this set where it was King of the Ring. So they had these glass window things that had cards, like King of Hearts and and things. And Kurt Angle was going to do a suplex. Suplexed him through one of them, except the first time he did it, he just bounces right off and he doesn't go through the glass. And it looks like the most painful thing I've ever seen. And then he just did it again. He finally goes through. Then he tries to slam him back through another one and he again doesn't break through. Cause I think they ordered the wrong kind of
glass though.
And he's just getting just tossed. And again, his first match, cause again, the first time he ever wrestled, nobody's like, well, he can't, what? What is he gonna do? He runs to the ring, climbs up 20, up to the top of a cage and jumps off the top of the cage. That's the first time he ever wrestled. Cause he's like, I can't wrestle, but I can do all these crazy things. Now he's in his 40s, so it'll be curious to see what happens, cause he's wrestling, it sounds like he's gonna wrestle Undertaker in a cell. I've told you about the Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania. I'm going to be there.
You're going to be there.
But anyways, so I was watching it as you came in.
I came over, yep.
And people were going crazy. And that was fun. But now I'm like, now, as we were like, been, like, we started doing the preview. Well, because we will talk about some of the things we were, because you said that you had a song in your head.
Yes, this is crazy. This is one of those ones where I would recommend going back and listening to the pre-show on YouTube because we made like this crazy discovery, which we weren't the first to discover.
But it's one of those things where we, because Phil's like, I got this song, I got the Remington Steel song in my head, and then he started doing it. And then I'm like, that's He-Man.
I'm like, no, it's Remington Steel, but wait, it is kind of like He-Man.
And then we looked it up online, and somebody made a mashup video, and they're the same song.
It's the same song, like maybe one note off. And so all these years, I've been singing both Remington Steel and He-Man and not realizing it.
So then we started looking about old 80s shows, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Yeah, but there, we had a couple other little nice sidetracks
and such. But yeah, Remington Steel, dude, seriously, it's crazy. I can't believe it. Like, I just never thought of that. So,
did you have a good week?
I had a good week.
You're not sick anymore. You sound great.
I'm good. Yeah, I feel good.
You went to the doctor.
Went to the doctor, and it was more by the time I went, passed your physical. But yeah, I still have to get my blood drawn because I have to like fast overnight, and I haven't like.
Yeah, that's always a pain in the butt.
But I mean, it's not that bad if you do it in the morning.
You have to do it in the morning. I've done it in the afternoon.
Oh, that's bad.
And that's horrible.
Yeah, so I just have to like do it.
Especially when I was at work and it was like donut day. They in like donuts.
No, that's bad.
It's like,
But I mean, that's just, you know, just a regular thing. Yeah, it's not like there's a problem. Everything was good.
That's like checking your glucose. And
I think I said this last time, but like since the last time I had weighed in, I was down like, I don't know, like 18 pounds or something.
Well, you're still sticking to your.
Yeah, it's going like, really good.
We went to Chili's and you didn't eat your french fries.
No. It's not going to be forever, but I'm hoping to modify at least a bit. I want to be, you know. I'm liking the direction this is going.
We went walking.
And
well, we're on the once a week plan.
Yeah, I mean, we'll hopefully try to ramp it up a little bit. But we also have our exercise bike in front of the TV now, so I'm doing some of that.
Your little sit down one?
Yeah.
You've had that forever.
Well, then we go in periods of using it, and then periods of not using it.
Periods meaning years.
Yes, but also sometimes when we do use it. I remember, like, the first time we got
How many times has Janelle tried to get you to get rid of it?
Yeah, and then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to
do it.
Now we're using it again.
I've witnessed those fights.
But we have had those, like, do we keep it? Do we get rid of it? But it's cool because it's easy to sit on it and watch TV. Because
it's sit down
recline. What do you call it? Incline? No.
No, it's.
There's a word for it. I can't remember what it is. But yeah, it's like where you kind of lean back into it. So, you know, you're working, but you're also kind of relaxed. Anyway, so that's been going good, and hopefully, I don't know, like, stuff's fitting looser, it's nice, so I want to keep in that direction. But yeah, it's good, that was good, and then, well, we'll talk about a couple other things, but we had some adventures over this weekend.
Yeah, you went to a...
Well, yeah, first escape we went room. To an escape room, another one, which is great.
Yeah.
Super fun.
This one
fun.
Was in Menifee.
This one's in Menifee, which is down kind of towards Temecula.
Yeah.
And
like Marietta area?
Yeah, it's like a little before there. Marietta. Even.
Okay.
It's like
off the
right
15?
Off the, it's actually off the 215. Okay. So it's like on that, like right
on
before
that side.
It hits, yeah. So, but yeah, it was super fun. It was very different from the other one, but like not in
well,
a bad way.
This one,
way.
Your kids?
Yeah, it was totally kid friendly. So my kids came, plus my sisters came. There was 9 of us in the room. And we did wind up solving it before it ended. We had 6 minutes to spare. But we got a couple of hints. So we haven't, like, hint-free solved one yet. But, you know, we're working up. We're getting there.
It's good, but you're learning the ropes.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, it was a very different approach for this one. I mean, same basic concept, but, you know, we kind of, the more you do it, the more you kind of, like, learn what to expect. And, I don't know, they're super fun. Like, if it sounds even remotely interesting, you should try it. Because now that we've done one, and now that we've done two, we're hooked. We're doing another one in 2 weeks.
Man.
So, because the way it happened is on Christmas, we got one for my parents and they got one for us. So this one is the one we got and then the next one is the one that they got. So.
Where's the one?
The next one's in Pomona. And this one, so the first one we did was like a mystery one. This one is, you know, more kid friendly. It was actually the premise is you're like a traveling performing troupe, and your costumes are locked in a box, and you have to get the box open before stage, you know, you go on stage.
Well, I saw you guys in all your costumes.
Yeah, and then you get to dress up if you open it.
Yeah.
But this next one is like the first scary one.
Oh, you're doing a scary
it's
one?
It's called the 13th Room, and it's like a ghost one.
Yeah.
It's in like an old abandoned house, like this old building. Freak out. It looks super creepy.
Oh,
so,
dude.
And my parents are the ones that booked this one, so.
Yes, I was waiting for you guys to do like a scary
one. Yeah, it's like, from what we can tell, it's like ghost, creepy, scary, not like gory or anything.
Yeah,
like
well,
that,
Derek's so. Done some of the spooky ones.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be really cool. So we'll see how that goes.
That's awesome.
And then yesterday
we had Long Beach Comic Expo.
It was super good.
Yeah,
great year this year.
Yeah,
one of our biggest turnouts. Well, definitely the biggest at the expo we've ever had.
Yeah,
we've probably had a few more people at the convention, but the expos are usually small.
Yeah, and we had a good little group of our friends, but then a lot of other people came. But we want to give shout outs to our friends that came. We got Andrew, Lindy, and Matt Benson, the Benview.
Yep, Benview crew.
And then we got David King and Kayla. I don't know her last name.
From Midnight Marinara.
And that was cool seeing them. We always see them at conventions, and they had their costumes, and it's always cool to see their cosplay. And then Cheryl Jones.
Cheryl of Movies Made Me podcast.
And then Josh was there, of course.
But of Extra Damage.
Yeah. And then, like, Patrick.
And Patrick, of course. Super Siblings.
Yeah. I think that was it.
Yeah, that was it. And then everyone else was there.
Yeah.
Oh, we had a cool... The lady that does Clucked.
Well, yeah, that was Joey.
Yeah.
Her name was Joey.
She was super cool. And then we had some other people that shared and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was good.
We had some, like, hopefully future webcomic people.
Yep.
Because they were, like, in development.
But the response also afterwards, we had people lining up to talk to us.
Yeah, wasn't there, like, one that was, like, Rob Man cartoons.
Yeah.
He's got on DeviantArt. So you want to check that out.
So, and there was a couple others that I can't remember.
Well, the other one, they hadn't done it yet.
Oh, that's right. They hadn't posted yet. They're talking about
it. He was
just
showing me his sketchbook. He didn't even have a title.
And then we had a few others that just were interested in learning about it.
Yeah, talking to him.
So it was really
good. But it was
really
like, I thought we had a really cool, like, casual, like, it was more a casual chat.
Yeah. A little more laid back than sometimes.
And like some, a lot of, like, I thought it was really funny. Josh is always great.
Yeah.
Next time, WonderCon, Josh is going to a cat band concert.
Yeah, where it's cats that play in a band.
I want to know more about this.
I have no idea what he's talking
about.
Because,
like, how they play instruments?
I guess. Is it like that old, do you remember that old thing I showed you, that old kids show?
Yeah.
Where the guy, like, taped stuff to the animal's hands and, like, puppet people, except they were alive?
Like, what?
Creepy.
So, like, what is that? Like,
it can't be like that.
Like, yeah, because that's, like, animal abuse.
That's, like, animal cruelty. Like, it's weird to watch.
Do they, like, let them, like, just wander around? Is it, like, cats wandering around the stage?
I mean, are they, what if they pay and it's just, like, there's instruments on the stage?
I feel like this is, like, is this, like, it's, like, the whole flea circus thing? Like, is that what this is?
I don't know. I can't wait to find out.
We need to find more about this. I wish Josh was in the chat right now so we could talk about it. Because, like, do they have a website? Can I listen to their music?
Yeah.
Like, are there videos? There's got to be videos.
There must be.
So Josh is going to see a cat band. So filling in for Josh at WonderCon is going to be Andrew Lindy.
Yep. Also, again, a Ben Mew.
We'll see if he can handle it.
I think he can do it. I think he's the right man for the job.
Can he keep us reined in?
Well, that's the tough part. It's not so much what he says. It's controlling what we say. But I think he's up for the task.
I mean, we've done so many of these now, and, like, you, me, and Patrick, we kind of even have, like, our bits.
Yeah.
That we do.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. It's fun to, like, hear that stuff and the variations on it and stuff.
Patrick has a very similar sense of humor.
Yeah.
And like, you guys and your dad jokes, I mean, you're on a whole other level from me.
Well, we also, I mean, we'll have to see about this, but we also started talking with the people from the Palm Springs Comic Con.
It's not Palm Springs Comic Con.
Oh, what's it called?
It's Palm Springs. I don't know. You have.
That's right.
Because the Palm Springs Comic Con came. There's two. Mark Ariano pointed out that now there's two conventions happening in Palm Springs this year. They're both new, but one of them is like a copycat one.
Right.
And it doesn't sound as good.
We talked to the original ones,
and they seem like they really got a good thing planned. And that's going to be in, like, It is like in August.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how I feel August about going to Palm Springs, that. But that's why it's probably cheap to get the,
yeah, to get the convention, like, or whatever.
Yeah, that'll be, but that I totally want to go. I mean, it's a 40-minute drive.
Might as well.
It's closer than Long Beach.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure, I think Mark's going to go and we could have a Radio Brendo Man meet up there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. And I know we kind of talked to him a little bit about maybe podcasting stuff.
That would be really cool.
So if we could do like a Radio Brendo Man thing, there was like some convention that we were going to do a live podcast at, and then they never followed up with us.
Which one was that?
It was like somewhere in Orange County.
San Bernardino or something?
And then, but then afterwards they were like, yeah, you guys didn't show up. And I'm like, you never confirmed with us.
Right. Wow. I don't think they're still going anymore.
No, that was, I don't think they really had their stuff together.
No.
Cause I'm like, cause I remember I got this angry email and then I'm like, you never, I said I would do it and then I never heard anything else from you. And I remember I even sent an email being like, is this still happening? Never heard a response. Right. So it's one of those things, if you're doing a convention, like communication.
Definitely key.
Very important.
And Long Beach is very good about that. We also got to talk to Martha who runs Long Beach and that was really cool. So,
yeah.
If she's listening out there, thanks again. Probably not, but you never know.
Well, she came up, she was there.
Yeah, so that was really cool.
They had, seemed like they had a good, I mean, they had Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
They had some other big people. I mean, we ran into Keith Coogan of, he was on Begged and Boarded once, also, yeah. I mean, he's in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Right, Toy Soldiers.
Cheetah.
And
it was probably the biggest floor they've had for
huge,
the expo.
Very big. So lots of stuff.
It's growing.
They had, but there was, as I think, I can't wait to read Andrew's article.
Yeah. Because
there was like Cutco was there, the Girl Scouts. There was like just jerky hug.
Eyeglasses.
There was, yeah, eyeglass. But they were like geeky. But hey, that makes sense though, because like nerds and glasses.
I don't know. He's going to write an interesting article. I want to see what he comes
up. He interviewed
up with
a lot of people.
So yeah,
we got he's like a real journalist.
There was that we noticed a troubling trend, and I've seen it. We've seen it at the other conventions too. But there's quite a few people doing the like hard sell, like shouting at you to come over and look at their stuff.
People need to stop doing
that.
Don't
do that. That's bad news.
If somebody shows interest, it's okay to like
the pitch thing.
Do a pitch. But if you're like calling people over to your booth.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, look, it's
like a cell phone kiosk at the
mall. Then you like, and then Phil is easily like guilt tripped and then he'll let him go through their whole pitch. And then I'm like, they're wasting your time, you're wasting their time. And then you gotta make that separation afterward, makes it a million times more awkward.
I think I uttered like seven different like half truths to get away from people.
You did it like, we're gonna go meet somebody. You did it like, I don't even know what time you're just like, one time you straight up told the guy, like, it's just not my thing.
Yeah. Because the one guy's was, like, really, like, just weird and, like, I'm like, that's a little, it was, like, super dirty. And I was like, that's a little, like, I think I said, like, hard for me.
Because
I don't
hard,
know, like.
A little too hard.
Again, it's just me trying to, like, awkwardly stumble out of those. I hate that. There's nothing worse. Like, if there's someone outside of a grocery store doing a sales pitch, I will go out the other door to avoid it. That's how much I hate those things.
Like, nobody likes that. So, like, I don't know why people keep doing it. And then it gets to the point where if we have known ones where we know they do that, like, we actively
avoid
them. I mean, the most notorious one is Angus Oblong.
Yep.
Who, like, first I warned you, and then you got sucked in. And then we warned Jeff, and then he got sucked in. And every time I'm like, no!
Derek, too.
No, Derek got sucked in.
Yeah,
like, I'm like, no! Like, no! Cause, like, cause I'm a big dummy, and, like, to get away from him the first time, I
bought something. Yeah.
Like, a $7 magnet.
Yep.
Like, cause I was just like, oh, how do I get this guy to shut up?
Like, well, and that's the thing. Like, I'm too cheap to do that, but it's also too awkward to, like, I don't know. That's just bad. That's just terrible. At any place. At a store, at a yard sale, at a convention.
Yeah, there's certain people where, like, I will, like, make sure that I avoid eye contact and speed past their booth because I'm like, oh, gosh.
Well, then the other ones, too, are, like, and, again, this is, like, where it's just weird because there were several, like, charity type ones and like, oh, come on, it's like for a good cause.
Yeah,
like, all we need is 30 seconds of your time. And I'm like,
I know you're gonna like try and
it's gonna be a big old thing. And I'm not
like, it's not 30 seconds, you're lying right now. Because there was like a malaria one, and they're trying to guilt trip
you.
Yeah,
it was like full guilt. And I'm like, and that's not no, that's not how you do it. I don't respond well to guilt.
Just everybody be cool.
Just chill out.
Just everybody needs to chill. You even said, you're like, everybody just needs to chill out a little bit.
Stop barking at me when I'm walking by.
Yeah. Well, because like even some of the celebrities are obnoxious. Yeah.
Now, and again, this is not just at
Keith Coogan was cool.
Oh, definitely. But this is not just at Long Beach.
No, this is like on a whole.
Yeah.
Because like, you and I have been to enough conventions.
Yeah.
I feel like we can speak on this.
Yep.
I feel like we need to like offer a class.
I know. I think, okay, you said something in this last one that like.
Consulting.
We need to be consultants. Like, I seriously think, like, both for people who are presenting
attending.
Or have a table or attending. If anyone has an idea of how we can get paid to do this, let me know because
Phil and Brendo's consulting
trademark copyright 2016.
Well, it's kind of like what I think about. Like, I forgot what Tony Kim? He does like on his he made like a guidebook, and then he also has like a blog about like the San Diego Comic-Con blog,
right?
And he offers tips, and then he does panels. Like, I don't think, like, he gets paid.
Yeah.
But, like, because I know he had made a book, like, the Comic-Con Survival Guide or, like, something like that. And he offers a lot of helpful tips. And he's always been, like, a super helpful guy. But now people know him as that guy.
Right.
So, like, maybe, I mean, like, I don't know if he gets, like, side gigs or, like, little things. But, like, on a professional basis. But we also, like, we've been at the con on all levels.
Right.
And people, like, every person I've talked to, we give little nuggets of advice. They're like, oh, wow, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Or, like, just practical things. And, like, for all levels, regular attendees, professionals. Because even if you don't have a table, there are things that you can be doing to, like, right. like, you know, just, like, meeting people, schmoozing. But doing it properly and not being obnoxious and weird.
Yeah,
and like awkward and like forcing yourself on people and there's ways to do it. And I feel like we've managed to navigate a lot of that without making total idiots of ourselves.
If only someone would pay us to tell them how to do that.
Well, there's Kickstarter consultants. That's a thing.
Well, I think that would
That's another thing.
Again, whenever I see a Kickstarter that's poorly put together and I mean, oh gosh, I just want to like, please, but I don't want to like, I don't have enough time to go and help everybody for free.
Well, that's where we should maybe make a website and have our services and advertise and see if we get any.
All right. Phil and Brendo's consulting and.
Or just creative consulting. Like, isn't like as a whole, like.
Yeah.
Like, that's a total thing.
Yeah, I think it is.
But then it's like, people? Who are we?
Yeah.
But we are, like, when you really think about it.
No, that's, I mean, it's
again, like, there's, I mean, we, like, between the two of us, like, if you add up our years of Comic-Con together, we're almost at, like, 20 years of right. Comic-Con well, combined.
Plus,
just San Diego.
And then
other
things.
Creative stuff. I mean, you've been doing concert promotions since you were in high school. I've been working with you on that since college, record label, music stuff, live event, and that translates into so much stuff.
Yeah.
And then between like our comics and podcasting. I mean, I've been doing podcasting since 2004.
Like, not to mention Brendo Man All Star.
Yeah, and like we have a band, and then so there's a lot of different
and the Doritos fan page.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, websites.
Websites.
I mean, I've been making websites since I was in high school.
Yeah.
Since the internet happened.
Yep.
Like and but then I'm not a professional web designer because
I'm
colorblind.
We do all those things, but we're not like
professional
at most of them, but we have a lot of experience.
But we've worked in them.
It's enough.
Like, it's
good enough.
Slogan.
That's our slogan.
But that's because, and that's why we don't charge.
We're
like,
not pros,
consultants
but we're good enough.
Charge like crazy amounts
right.
of money. Like we charge reasonable.
I just want a couple $100. That's all. That's not bad.
I don't even know. Like I don't know how that works.
I don't know. Just give us a couple $100.
We need a consultant stuff. For consulting.
A consultant
that can help us. I'm sure.
Consultant.
Well, that's a. I know that's
I'm
a thing
because
I'm sure somebody's willing to be like, "You just got to pay this much money, come to my seminar, and I'll tell you all about how to start your consulting business."
Yep.
And that's, but that's the key how they make money. Because
yep.
that's all these tricks is monetizing. But the whole thing about monetizing it is like selling ebooks about how to make money. Like
well, that's what we need
like,
to do.
That's your model.
How to consult with the people that want to be consultants. We could be consultants.
Well, Whoa. Yeah. You just blew my mind there.
Yeah, that's like next level.
But those guys exist, because that's like those pyramid scheme guys.
But we don't want to be evil. Like, we want to be good consultants.
I feel like just that whole nature of that is evil, though.
Yeah, but...
because you're telling people, you're charging people money to teach them how to make money by charging people money.
Yes, but we're just trying to get them to help them in a nice way.
That's where we got to be at the grassroots. We so got to be helping.
We want to be like third level indie consultants.
But we want to be like indie, like DIY consultants.
Yeah.
But then isn't that very against the very nature of DIY by using a consultant?
Yeah, but maybe just a little help.
Just a little help.
Yeah.
We're not so consultant might not even
that could
be the
our
word.
Tagline. Just a little help.
Yeah.
Just get us a little bit. Just help you out a little bit.
Get by with a little help from you from Phil and Brendo.
That's it. There you go.
Get by with a little help from Phil and Brendo.
Yeah. Just help out a bit. Just a bit. We can help out.
Just a bit.
We're not pros, but we're good enough.
There you go.
All right. This is a pretty good business platform.
We got to come up with a name.
Yeah. Well, I like the consultant.
But I feel like that's limiting us a little bit. Well, but maybe that's a good place to start.
Right. It's funny.
Yeah. I don't know. If anybody has some ideas.
All right. Let us know. If anybody out there is a consultant specialist.
Or if wants consulting.
True.
Hey, if you're listening and you're willing to, what's our hourly, I guess we're on a sliding scale.
Yeah, what, do you make us an offer. Pay me $20, I'll tell you some good tips.
I'll tell you some tips.
Yeah.
We'll do a 10-minute Skype session.
$100, I don't know, we'll tell you a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
$500.
What if they want to fly us out to like give them, like, we'll talk to you.
We'll talk about anything.
Talk to anywhere, anything.
What do you want advice on? I'll give you advice on anything.
Hey, we've done seminars.
Yeah, I could do parenting advice too if you want.
There you go.
Get the whole thing.
And I could give like uncle advice.
Yeah.
Godfather tips.
Do youth group stuff.
Yeah.
We got everything.
Got all, like everything.
I was a nightclub DJ for a while. I'll talk about that. That's cool. Would you tell me what you need to know?
I worked at a shady eBay store.
Yeah. That's good. We got eBay tips. I sell stuff on eBay.
Disneyland secrets.
All of it. Just consultants. Just everything.
Everything. A little bit of everything.
You tell me what you want, we will tell you about it.
Yeah. And then if not, we can find out about it. We're really good at Google.
Yeah. We're like experts at Google.
Seriously.
You're experts at Google tonight. We'll talk about that in a bit. Now, of course, people that are listening are like, you guys say all this stuff for free every week on the podcast. Why would I pay you?
We have stuff that you don't even know. Yeah.
This is like bonus, like... Whoa.
We can always come up with things that we haven't talked about. I mean, come on.
Yep.
We haven't, it's people don't believe us, but like.
One of these days we need to do like a 24 hour for charity podcast where we talk for 24 hours. We could do it. One of these days. It's gotta be for a good cause.
Like what?
I don't know.
The cause of us?
I don't know. We could help out with the Extra Life thing, except it's just us talking. And so we could talk about video games for the whole time.
But we can't actually be playing video games?
We could play.
I feel like we'd have to do a lot of different things. I think we could do a live movie commentary.
Yeah.
We could do a live video game stuff. We could do podcasts. We could do a live Q&A, like interactive.
Yeah.
We'd have to do like, cause to keep it, to break it up the but we could also just sit.
We could do it.
Well, we could definitely.
Might make it more interesting.
But also, I don't know if I could, that would have to be like, we'd have to like prepare, caffeine it up.
Yeah.
We have to have food. We have to, maybe we could get people like charity catering. We could get like a catering sponsor.
Yeah, free food. This is good. Still like a good cause.
How do we get like, we go up to like, so we go to like the Queen Bee and we're gonna be talking for 24 hours. Can you give us some sandwiches?
Give me some sandwiches. So wait, how is this for charity? No,
well, we, like people pledge.
Yeah, I'm saying that's what they're gonna ask. Wait, why am I giving you sandwiches? You're gonna talk for 24
people,
hours?
We're gonna raise money. Hey, we participated in that podcast thing.
Yeah.
But that was only, we just submitted an episode to
still.
It.
Still.
But we could do more stuff like that. I mean, I saw, some guy, never mind, he was doing one of those, he does a 12-hour one.
Okay.
And, it's Jimmy Pardo, because he's doing the Pardo cast, Pardo-thon or something.
Pardo-thon.
Yeah.
We could do it. We got to develop our...
Because he's doing a 12 hours. Like, I think 12 hours, I could definitely see myself doing 12 hours.
We could do it. I think we need to, now we probably, I mean, we'd have to just do it as a, cause you're not going to put out a 24 hour audio file.
No, it would just be a stream. It would
be the stream, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Because
nobody's going to listen
to it. No one's going to download a 24-hour
No, it would file. Be a stream. And if you want to listen to it, you can go back. Because, I mean, at least if we did this, it would be archived.
How big would an audio file be? Like, how big would the Audacity
well,
project
three-hour, be? Well, our three-hour ones... Well, just the raw Audacity yeah. project, I don't think it would fit on my... like, you're talking, like... Because the Audacity files as they are, like, they're averaging, like, 2 gigabytes. So you're looking at, like so for 3 hours times 8.
So like, 16 gigs.
16 to 20 gigabytes.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I mean, I could fit that. Like, I don't know if, like... Because, like, the RAM, like, a lot of that's written on, like, the RAM. Like, I think it would crash our computer.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think it's, like, while you're recording, it's storing that, like, in, like, so I don't know. I don't know. I'd be worried. What if we, like, what if Audacity crashed at, like, the 22 hours?
Sorry, guys. Gonna start over.
But that's why we'd have to do the Hangout stream.
Yeah.
And now that they don't, because they used to have, like, it would, like,
there
stop.
Time out. Yeah.
But now, remember we hit the limit and it's, like, stopped.
Yeah, you're done.
Like, because I think the limit was, like, what, 4 hours?
Yeah.
Because I remember we would go with the pre-show, we would do that. We did that quite frequently.
Well, and remember, it used to do that thing where it would ask if you're still there, and if you weren't looking at it, it would, like, time you out.
And we had that happen quite a few times.
Yeah.
I'm glad it doesn't do that. But now, with YouTube, there aren't limits, like...
Right, right.
Like, with the videos, so,
well,
like...
I thought, like, when you left it on accident, it shut down at some point, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. It did.
Like, 8 hours or something?
But we could do multiple...
Well, yeah. We could even do... Because Twitch stream, like, just... You can do it forever, right?
Yeah. But then you'd have to... You have to use another program. We can...
Well, anyway.
We have to figure it
out. We'll have to nail that stuff down.
Anybody's got... I mean, like, if we did, like, a whole Benview Network thing...
Yeah.
BenviewCon,
talking for 24 hours.
Like, we could do shifts.
It's true. But I think... Because part of it, to me, the challenge is that you and I could talk for 24 hours and not run out of things to say.
Could you stay up for 24 hours straight?
Yeah, you could do it.
You would not. You don't think you would fall asleep? Like,
I've done 24, dude. Like, I've done the youth group things where we stay up for 24 hours. Like, I've done those things.
But talking and being like very active.
Yeah, I have a lot of water bottles.
All right. Well, you want to do some reader mail?
Let's do some reader mail. All
right, we got one here from Rocky Vandermoon, and he writes a favorite anti-hero. Now, I don't think he's talking about comics specifically, but he does mention comics.
Okay.
So he says, I'm a DC guy, so I love Deathstroke and Red Hood. When I thought about sending you this question, I Googled anti-hero. Wiki has a list that is crazy. So two-parter, your definition of an anti-hero and your favorite. After seeing the list, my two changed.
Interesting.
So my definition of anti-hero would be like somebody that you... root for, but does not fit the, like, specifications of a normal hero. So, like, somebody that might even typically be a villain.
Right.
But because of their qualities that you like, you root for them.
Right. Or because of the way the narrative presents them, like...
Like, against the normal tropes of a hero.
Yeah.
But you're still rooting for... I mean, in the wrestling world, the first thing that comes to mind is Stone Cold Steve Austin. On paper, like, he has no redeeming qualities. He drinks beer, he cusses, he flips off the fans, he fights his boss. I mean, but because of that, that's what made people...
You cheer for him.
Like, because we... People... I guess it was, like, a turning point just in our culture where, like, you know, we're tired of the Supermans and the,
right.
like, what you're told to root for. So this, and then, so there's kind of that anti-authority figure, and like, especially me being a anti-authority person. and so, like, that's something and speaks to you, and then you root for them. And then, but then now that people are rooting for them, like, for instance, like Deadpool, like some, does that no longer make them an anti-hero?
Right.
Now they're the hero, but they don't have the traits of a hero. But for me, when I thought about this, I think my one in like a fictional universe is probably Spike from Buffy.
Okay.
Cause like there's, when he first comes in, like he is the villain, like he's a straight up villain, but because he's so likable, but in like a, like, cause he's like very he's like anti-establishment. He's cool. Like
right.
He's very cool. And he, again, like he's just so funny. And, but it, like when they started, he's like straight up bad guy, but because he's so likable, but then he eventually became part of the team. but he was always with trepidation, because like at any moment he could turn on him, and sometimes he still did because he's still looking out for himself.
Right.
And so I think that's another thing, is like most of the, even though they might align with the good guys, but usually only for the purposes of their selfish means. So that's where I think of Spike from Buffy is my big one.
Okay, well, the first thing that came to my mind when I saw the question is Lebowski.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's very much like, I mean, he's the protagonist of the story.
But he is a total bum. He's a
total loser.
He doesn't pay rent.
He doesn't pay rent. He steals money.
There's a scene where he is literally drinking and driving.
Yep,
and smoking
at the same time. Like he double crosses anyone he can to try to get the money.
Yeah.
But he has admirable qualities.
And the Coen brothers have a lot of characters.
They do. That's like a common thing. But I don't know. To me, because the actual Big Lebowski is definitely worse in that regard.
Well, he's like your classic villain.
He's like the villain, but Lebowski is not the typical hero.
Yeah.
So I don't know. To me, that's what came to mind right away. But yeah, I think the Coens have a lot of that kind of stuff. That sort of.
Well, then sometimes they even have you like kind of rooting. Like, think about Steve Buscemi in Fargo.
Yeah.
Like, at no point is he a good person.
No.
But sometimes you're like, this guy's really funny.
Yeah, and like, you like him. You want him to get away with it.
But like,
kinda.
He's not. He's a horrible person.
Yep.
Everything he does is terrible.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of the likable villain, where he's not even doing remotely noble things. Whereas somebody like Lebowski will do noble things, but for selfish reasons.
Right.
Like, he's never, like, does he, I don't even, like, he, I don't think at any point he's doing something for purely noble reasons.
No, I mean, there's a couple times, like, for instance, he goes and sees his landlord. But then again, though, is he just doing that so he's not paying the rent?
It sounds, and it kind of says
yeah,
that.
You kind of wonder, like, it's very murky.
Yeah.
So,
And that's the whole point, is like, life is murky.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, because when you talk about black and white and like good and bad, you have your Superman and like your, you know, like Captain America.
Yeah.
But then when you get in like that middle, you know, that's where you have your Batman, Iron Man.
Right.
And then like some of these things and like, you know, like these heroes with negative traits,
yeah,
because but it humanizes them. I mean, we just watched Angus and like that whole speech where he's like, you know, Superman is an indestructible,
right?
So like he's not brave because if you have, in order to be brave, you have to be able to get knocked down. You have to.
There's no danger.
So like, there's no danger.
Yeah,
and so that's where you get into this world of, and then think of, and then like the world. So there are times in our culture where I think. It just were like I talk about the Stone Cold Steve example, and now like look at Deadpool. Like Deadpool made like $200,000 plus
more than because, like all the other X-Men movies.
Because I mean like, but even he claims like I am not a hero. I don't want to be in the X-Men. I don't want to fight for good. I'm looking out for myself. Is like his whole motivation. He just wants to like he wants to get back with his girlfriend, but he has no noble. Like, but he only will cooperate with the X-Men when they're alike, when their needs are like on the same line, and that's kind of the whole thing. And he does horrible things.
Yeah.
And that's where like, and it keeps frustrating. That's why the whole thing with him and Colossus is really funny, because Colossus is like, no, like the world is good and you need to be good. And he's like, why? Like, I don't want to. It's boring. Like, you know, I mean, that's the whole, like, I mean, Spaceball, like, good is dumb.
Yeah, good is dumb. Yeah. You will always win because good is dumb. That's a good question. I like it. Thank you. Thank you for writing, Rocky.
All right, we got some Mario stuff.
All right, Mario's got, let's see what he's got for us.
So this is from two episodes.
Okay.
Episode 206. If you lose Radio Brendo Man, oh yeah, because we were always
talking about losing the website.
Party Truck USA might be available. Yeah, I did notice that. I was trying to get a hold of Jordy. Cause like partytruckusa.com is like,
is open.
I think it like got like taken over.
Huh.
And I don't know. And like, so I'm like, how do I like, that's a bummer. Like, I don't think so. Yeah.
Don't ever let him expire. Don't do it.
He said, or maybe just interview Brian Lynch instead. It's still a possibility.
Yeah, could happen. Never know. He's a busy guy.
He's a very busy man. Roseanne had OJ related jokes. Of course she did.
Well, yeah.
Especially at the time.
Yeah. I mean,
well, everybody, I feel like every sitcom.
Yeah, it was pretty much ubiquitous at that point.
And every comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, late night.
That was bread and butter.
Well, yeah, and then think about all the late night mob. They didn't have to write anything. No. They're like, oh, what happened in OJ today?
Yep.
Like, there it is, Judge Ito.
Yep. Well, I mean, Norm MacDonald, whole thing.
Yep.
Yep. His whole entire run.
Ashton Kutcher had a line in his movie where he yelled out, OJ's on the loose. Okay. What movie?
I don't know.
Dude, Where's My Car?
Okay, so we have to mention, since Josh isn't in the chat, Josh berated heavily at Comic-Con.
It was very awesome.
Long Beach.
As soon as Josh saw Phil, he's like, I gotta air my grievances.
Yeah, you said it was the worst thing I've ever said on the show, which I thought was funny.
Which was that the worst part of the OJ thing was that there was no more Naked Gun movies. Never mind the two people were dead, but is that no
that
more
part's
Naked
bad
Gun?
Too.
But I even listened back and be like, yeah, that was the worst part. So I can just imagine Josh listening
It's called hyperbole, of course the worst part is the murder, but I'm also bummed that we didn't get more Naked Gun. Because I love those movies.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe Marmaduke is about elder abuse.
It's possible.
Maybe he was feeling abused.
Maybe this is a cry for help. Maybe it was. I'm looking forward to see what happens tonight, I got to tell you. Ever since we started down this path, Mark Bolton was saying, it's actually interesting.
Episode 207. Show should have been called Thing 1 and Thing 2.
Trying to remember why.
Mm.
Cat in the Hat? Are we talking about Cat in the Hat?
Maybe.
All right.
My great-grandfather was shot in the back by Buford Tannen over a matter of $80. It's basically...
Oh, yeah, because you're talking about... Yeah.
My great-great-grandfather. I need to talk to my aunt because I'd forgotten the story. I know it was a land dispute.
All right.
Shot cold blood.
Yeah, you got to get the whole scoop.
Well, it's just a matter of it's a long story and.
Yeah.
Before watching Deadpool, there was a trailer with a lady saying, I want my Barbie wedding. Yeah, it was the one with Zac Efron and then with Aubrey Plaza where it was the sisters.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Then that makes you Black Ken, because I remember there was a line where, so movie trailer had, see, there you go. Mario made that blackface Ken.
Yep.
There you go. That's the thing.
Should have written it down.
Jumped on that. Hollywood beat me to it.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
Yeah, that's encouraging, though. You're on the right path.
Yeah.
You got a movie. You're just waiting there.
All right.
So, cool. Thank you for writing, guys. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Please send us your letters.
Go to the contact page on RadioBrendo.com or email brendoman@gmail.com or on Facebook, Twitter.
All those things.
All that stuff.
And also, speaking of stuff,
yeah.
I was listening to some stuff this week.
You were?
I was. And you know what's really convenient about how I was listening to it? I was listening to a podcast, and then I'm like, I don't have time to finish this right now. And I paused it,
yeah.
And then I came back later on, and guess what? It was right in the same spot I left it.
It's amazing.
And you know what platform it was I was using?
What amazing platform is this?
It was called Stitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listen to podcasts on Stitcher. I didn't today because I was asleep.
Well, yeah.
During my normal podcast and puzzle time. But, go to RadioBrendo.com. Click the Stitcher link if you want to find us on Stitcher. You can also just search for it. All the other Benview Network podcasts are on there, including the Mandarin Orange Show.
Yep.
Listen to the newest episode of Mandarin Orange Show on Stitcher. Now you guys just did the new one.
New one, yeah.
But it'll be up. Because you missed your deadline. You already missed the deadline, Phil.
Yeah, that's not the worst part. I had to print a retraction in this episode.
Ooh.
Well, sort of. I had a typo in the title of the last episode.
What?
Yeah.
What were you like?
Bad. Bad Phil. Well, the problem is
typo.
Mandarian is not a real word.
Yeah.
So I didn't notice that I had not spelled my title of my own show correctly.
You didn't get your own show title right.
So I fixed it on our site, but it already propagated to Stitcher and iTunes, so it's wrong there forever.
Yeah, but I think that'll update.
It might.
But I think with Stitcher, you have to tell them.
That's fine. It's not that bad, but you know me. So Matthew called me up and he's like, hey, he's all proud of himself. So listen to your show, the Mandane Orange Show.
Mandane?
Like, what? What?
Mandane?
Mandane. Like I left the R out.
So, yeah. Well, that's what happens when you have a not real...
Well, that's the thing. So, like, you notice it's red, and I just ignore it because it's not a real word.
Well, that's why you have to add it.
Well, that's... I probably should do that.
I don't want to do always correct.
Because then when you're, like, typing, like, and happen to have to use that, you're typing something up about Iron Man fighting the Mandarin, and all of a sudden you've got him fighting the Mandarian. Yeah. When you're writing your fan fiction...
Well, be sure to thumbs up while you're listening to the show, comment, rate and review on iTunes... You guys appreciate that.
Absolutely.
You guys got an iTunes review on Mandarin on the show, so.
Yeah, one so
I forgot
far.
My Apple ID, so I'm sorry, but.
Oh, gosh.
I tried to go through the forgot password thing, and it was way too much a pain in the butt.
Well, plus, they make you have the most stupid requirements.
Their password requirements are really annoying.
I have a document, like, on the notepad on my phone, and I don't spell out what it is, but I give myself hints that I understand.
Should use LastPass.
Like, because otherwise, like, I just forget.
LastPass.
What's LastPass?
It is a password generator tool, and then it keeps them all securely.
Huh, okay.
And then you'll never forget them. Right. But even that, for Apple ID, is a pain in the butt, because you have to do it through iTunes, not through the browser.
Right.
And, like, so then I have to copy, and I don't know. And I just get really annoyed easily at that.
Yep.
And also, I don't like Apple, and I don't like iTunes, and it gets annoying.
But people do listen to this stuff.
But thank you.
So it's necessary.
Yes, it's very necessary. Although, Brian sent me some instructions on how to get on TuneIn Radio, because that's what he uses to listen to podcasts via the Amazon, because he has an Amazon Echo speaker. And so I gotta do that, cause it's kind of a pain. Like,
but once it's on there.
Once it's on there. Like, Google Play was like so easy, and like iTunes made it even easier now. They actually have a whole management thing now.
Right.
Things need to be easier. Cause TuneIn Radio it was originally for radio shows only, but now they realize like, oh, podcasts
are where it's
but
at.
Now you have to like make it think that you still have to make it think that your podcast is a radio show.
Well, we are radio, and, like, Brendo, man, so that
yeah,
helps.
But like the format's weird. It's kind of weird. But we're going to do that. I got the steps. I'm going to do it.
Nice.
And, I was going to do it today, but again, it fell asleep.
Nap day.
Nap day. But be sure to listen to all the other BenV Network podcasts on Stitcher and at BenVNetwork.com. And, it's cool hanging out with all the BenV guys.
Yeah.
Cause this reminds me, like, we got a good thing going on.
Good folks.
And there's talked about some of the new shows coming down the pipe.
Yeah, I almost, like, spilled the beans on one of them.
Yeah.
There's some interesting things coming along.
You know what else is an interesting thing?
Yes, tell.
Is if you have an interesting website, you can make, if you wanted to know how to publish it, you can do that on DreamHost.
Absolutely.
And I just found out, I got an email from DreamHost. This offer is going away.
Really?
On March 15th.
This is it, huh?
Well, I'll just tell you. So until March 15th, you can use the promo code RadioBrendoMan and you will save $50 and you will get a free domain registration. Due to the rising costs of, and also the whole IP addresses going away thing.
Right.
Like we're almost into an IPv6 world, and that's gonna be a big change for a lot of people.
Okay.
Because they're running out of IP addresses. So because of that, and because of rising domain fees and stuff, after March 15th, the free domain registration is gone.
Okay.
And after March 15th, using the promo code is gonna be gone. You'll still be able to save $50 off your hosting if you go to RadioBrendo.com and use the DreamHost link.
Okay.
Because we have a referral link now. They're doing it link-based.
All right.
Because I guess there was just too many things where, like, people were just searching Google for DreamHost referral codes.
Right.
And, like, so then, like, it just... I don't know. Like, I guess the system was being abused.
The system is down.
But we can use our referral link to save $50. But for now... You can use the code RadioBrendoMan, you will save $50 off your order, and you'll get a free domain registration.
So our domain name is going to go up in price in that thing? thing?
No, okay. it's just the whole, like, domain names have already gone up in price.
Well, yeah.
From what they used to be.
Yeah.
And so because of that, this, it's just not, and also each new domain when you're on DreamHost is a new IP address and they're running out of IP addresses.
Okay.
And because of that though, they're able to charge more for IP addresses. So now it's not cost, I guess it's a cost thing.
Okay.
It makes sense. I mean, it's a very generous offer. You can still take it. You still got like almost a month to take advantage of it.
To get the best deal.
But even after that, you can still use the DreamHost link on RadioBrenda.com and you will save $50.
Sweet.
And that's the most you can save, by the way. Like, some people I know with DreamHost, because you can change the amount, maybe they'll give you like $20,
right.
$30. We give you the full $50 off. And, so yeah, so you can, and also you're also still helping us help that go, cause like, when you refer, we get part of that, and that goes directly into our hosting account. And if you're also being nice, you can just straight up donate to our hosting cost. There's also a button to do that on RadioBrenda.com.
Yeah.
But again, DreamHost, use the promo code. So we'll be sure to remind you and when that goes away. But for now, if you've been thinking about it, now's the time to do it.
Get on it. Because
that's how you get the free domain registration. That's going away.
Man.
So, yeah. Nothing lasts forever.
You know, what seems to, I mean, this has got to be around as long as we can think of it, though, is Amazon Prime is not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere. And you can still get a free 30-day trial of Amazon Prime. And that's a great deal because you can take advantage of the awesome Instant Watch library. You can get the Kindle Owners Lending Library. You get unlimited free 2-day shipping and no order size. There's also the video game discounts, 20% off for pre-orders.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's a very, very good deal.
Lots of crazy deals, and it seems like they're always adding new stuff. And if you want to try it out for 30 days free, go to RadioBrendo.com, click the Amazon Prime trial link, and then it's just $99 a year once your trial is over.
It's worth every penny.
And,
but let's say you already have Amazon Prime, or you just don't feel like doing that at the moment, you still want to help us out.
Everybody still shops on Amazon.
That's
still
right.
Buying stuff.
Go ahead and click that Amazon link or button on the right-hand side.
On RadioBrendo.com.
And do your shopping as usual, and it'll help us out, and we'll read what you bought on the show anonymously, of course.
Like this week, somebody bought a Clorox bleach pen.
Those are handy.
They are handy.
Yeah.
We also got a Cotton House Herringbone throw pillowcase.
Cool. So
pillowcase and then a decorative pillow cover.
Probably to go along with that. Yeah, Navy. Yeah. Looks like
Navy.
They're doing some decorating.
And then in the toys and games category, we got some Funko Pops.
Oh, yeah, quite a few.
Somebody went crazy with the Funko Pops.
Nice.
And we got a Funko Pop Jason Voorhees. Got Mike Myers. Back to the Future Doc Brown.
Sweet.
We got episode 7 Han Solo and a Triple H, WWE Triple H.
Man, you got like the whole collection.
Cause some of these are the actual Funko Pops and then some of them are like the little figures. Well, this is the pop one cause I think the Doc Brown one's like a figure.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a whole WWE line and it's the best deals I've seen on these cause like at conventions, these are usually like $10-$12.
Oh, yeah.
Like these, this one's like $7, 28% off.
With that Prime.
Yeah, look, they got Sting, they got The Rock, they got Andre the Giant. It's only $9. I remember I got some for Steve Espinoza.
Oh yeah, for the
gift
thing.
Exchange. There's a John Cena. It's a Hulk Hogan. Still selling that Hulk Hogan. Ultimate Warrior. Oh, that's cool. That one's $15. So they got like all kinds of different ones. There's Joker, Tony Montana. Nikki Bella, Batman. See, it's a whole, that's the thing. That's why I can't get
yeah,
into
once
this.
Once you get on like, that, go down that path.
Like, that's a, cause like, cause we were at Long Beach Comic Con and I was like, we could get Audrey a Funko. And I was like, no, that's a bad idea.
Nope.
Cause
you can't get me started on that. That's just bad.
Well, especially like, it's in her blood.
Yeah.
Like, collecting stuff.
Deep.
And so then she'll want more. And then, like, there's a million of those.
Yeah.
And they got them for everything.
So, I can't do that. That would be bad.
Because they got, like, all the Disney ones. And they got, like, Minions and, like, every franchise.
Everything. Star Wars.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Well, that's cool. So, big thank you, everybody,
for
ordering
buying stuff. Keep
Amazon
it up.
Stuff. And if you want to check out, it's a lot of cool daily updates. Somebody just posted an important update. Our Facebook group, it's the link is at RadioBrendo.com. If you want to watch Master of the Universe, you better get on it.
No, I saw that.
It's leaving Netflix.
That came over here.
Dude.
I need to do that. Well, now I'll be singing the He-Man song while I watch it.
Yeah. You got to watch that movie. Because
do they have the theme song?
No, it's like a new thing. But you got to watch... First, you should first watch the Canon Films documentary.
Before I watch it?
And then watch Master of the Universe.
Is that on Netflix too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Will it have spoilers?
Actually, maybe.
Maybe I should do
that. Maybe watch that and then watch.
I don't know, you can spoil the Master of the Universe.
It's so goofy. Plus, it's like so goofy. But Franklin Gillis, the Skeletor Man. And Dolph Lundgren, He-Man.
That's some crazy casting there.
And then they didn't want to have Orko, so they just had him they have an even more annoying elf character.
So you guys gonna have the annoying sidekick character in those 80s movies?
And then they wanted to make new toys, so they have all new bad guys. Like,
did they ever make the toys?
Yeah.
Do they look like the old He-Man toys?
Yeah. Okay. Well, this was when there was like towards the end of the toy run.
Okay.
And they were some of the last of the original run. This was like 87, I want to say.
Okay.
Which was towards, and that was the problem, was that the movie didn't come out till like He-Man was like got Ninja it. Turtles was starting to happen.
Right.
And like He-Man was on its way out, and that's why it like did not, cause like as a kid, like, I feel like if that movie came, if you had told me in like 1985, like live action He-Man movie, holy crap. But like, I didn't even see Master of the Universe until it came out on video. Cause like, I don't even remember there being like, oh, cause I feel like that should have been like the biggest thing of all time.
Why did they not have He-Man in the title? Like, that seems like the worst marketing decision ever.
That's Canon Films for you.
Like, seriously.
I think that Mattel, like, I think there was some lawsuits that happened because the movie was not what they wanted it to be.
I can imagine.
And I think there was a lot of interference from, again, like on the toy front, and it resulted in the movie not getting promoted in the correct way.
Right.
And also, if you again watching this Canon Films documentary, it's a miracle that any of their movies were released, let alone made any money. And yeah.
All right, I got to get on it before it goes away.
But the movie's called Electric Boogaloo. Okay. The Canon Films story. But then Master of the Universe, it's leaving Netflix, so you gotta get on it. Right. It's definitely Courtney Cox, it's like one of the first things.
It's definitely one that's been on my radar for
so
a long time.
So nuts. I think you will love it.
I probably will.
It's got the guy, Strickland, Principal Strickland, from Back to the Future, basically playing Principal Strickland as a police officer. He's like the chief of police.
Wait, is it in like the real world?
No, but it's like, it's basically like, oh yeah. Yeah, He-Man in the real world. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh yeah, serious? He comes to Earth. Dude, that's the whole premise of the movie.
Know that. I thought it was all.
No, they come to Earth.
It's not in Eternia?
Part of it is in Eternia. But He-Man comes to Earth because there's like a key. I can't even explain it to you. But yeah, it's like the whole like fish out of water thing, and they're like, this place is, what is this weird planet? And like, it's like him and Man at Arms and Tila.
I love fish out of water
like,
movies.
It's him and Man at Arms and Tila walking around 1986 Earth.
Wow.
And like, so that's why Courtney Cox is just a normal person. And yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
All right. I will definitely
it's
watch
freaking
it
crazy.
Before it goes away.
Like, I can't believe that's like, I guess maybe I further sold it on you. Like,
yeah, that right. I now
imagine
that
Star Trek 4, oh except with He-Man.
Oh my gosh.
That's exactly
best.
What it is.
It's the best.
Yeah.
All right.
And instead of the mom from Seventh Heaven, it's Courtney Cox.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. I'm
and
on.
And it's like, it's He-Man walking around.
Just walking around New
yeah,
York? Is
yeah.
it New York?
No. Oh. It's like the suburbs. Yeah, dude.
How did I not know that?
How did you know? I don't know.
I just always, oh man. All right. Well, I will definitely watch it before it goes
yeah,
away.
Dude. It's
and that's
so
all thanks to the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Masters of the Universe.
Also be sure to check out our subreddit. Any Kickstarter updates? Everybody should have their records.
Everyone has their records. We heard more.
Got a lot of more pictures.
Yep. We were kind of, this week was kind of Long Beach Comic Expo.
But we're going to start working on some of the other stuff.
Oh, I forgot to bring the thing again. But yeah, we
the Brax book is kind of our next
big... The
Brax
book is the next... That and the... And the
we have DVD. One more bonus episode to record.
Yeah. So there's a few little things still. We're still working on it. We'll get there.
Don't forget to check out our Clicker Heroes clan. Clickerheroes.com or on Steam or on the iPhone and Android store.
Yep.
And the clan name is Radio... Space, Brendo Man. Phil was just giving me a hard time.
Yeah, if you want to see Brendan playing it for a while before we record, you can watch him clicking for a while.
Sure, check out myvacationpants.com and JanelleandPhil.com and Darian Orange Show.
As we mentioned.
Guys, going strong.
Yeah. Episode 5 we recorded last night, so.
The fight's very entertaining and all your little...
We have another fight last night.
I guess you guys are never going to run out of fight.
We probably won't. I mean, there's probably a lot of good stuff.
And then my favorite part of the show is your little your drop-ins and your transitions. You're becoming quite the master.
There's a couple new ones.
Goofy.
Maybe my favorite one yet on this one. There's one that features Luke. We got Luke
to do one.
Yep. And Audrey's going to be... No, I think I have Audrey doing one on this episode, too.
Wow.
I've pre-done some of them that we haven't used, like, the segment yet, so... I can't remember for sure which ones are going to be on this one, but
see, that's the kind of stuff that I have no patience for because I did them for the LA Podfest episode, and it took me forever. I was like, this is a pain. But you actually, because I like found like stock things, and I actually a couple of them I took like some of our Potluck stuff and made little ones. I'm like, oh
yeah, mine are all from scratch. They're silly, like, but they're
so
all
goofy.
Yeah. Well, and I can't remember who
like
said it.
Like your couch potato corner. Yeah. Like, just your dumb, like, voice modulating and, like, are you, like, using, like, the, like different filters and Audacity and stuff?
Yeah, just messing around with filters. And also, like,
vocoder. Like,
just using, like, well, okay, here's the silly part.
Even use your detector.
Like, my thing has been so far, aside from, like, getting a couple instruments out of the playroom... I sit in like the chair, like in my recliner to do all this stuff, and I use whatever I can reach without getting out of the chair. So I sit there and I look around and I lean back and just grab stuff and use the like props that I can find from around my chair.
Wow.
Which is a testament to A, how
it's
much
about
junk
the laziest
laying around.
Thing I've
it
ever
is.
Heard
it's
in my
totally
life.
Lazy.
And also how cluttered your house
there's
is.
There's that many things I can reach. Cause like I did the board game one and I'm like, okay, I gotta do something that's, oh, like some dice. And then I look around and I see there's like a Yahtzee game. No, it was Sparkle, which is kind of like Yahtzee.
Yeah.
And I saw it, like it was in my backpack, so I like leaned out.
And it's like you like shaking.
Yeah, just me doing it. And then, oh, I needed like something. So I found a book and I leaned out and got a book to do it. So I do it all from whatever I can get sitting around me there. Except for a couple instruments, which I did have to grab from the playroom. So yeah. Anyway. So that's those.
You gonna do a handband one?
I do need to do handband.
Handband.
Oh, dude, I love handband. Did we ever show off handband on the show? I feel like I did so. when I was doing it in my room. So,
all right. Well, so be sure to check out those. And that's all. JanelleandPhil.com is like your portal.
Yeah, that's all. It's all there.
So now that Long Beach is done, our next convention appearance is going to be a WonderCon.
Yeah.
It's going to be March 25th through the 27th. And we're going to be there. We're going to be doing our panel Saturday, the 26th.
Right.
And we can't reveal the time until the programming is revealed, which that should be coming up soon. But I'm excited for that. It's going to be at the LA Convention Center. We're already planning out like our transportation.
Yeah.
Because it'll be interesting to see.
How's that?
The parking
work
up
out
there sucks.
We're doing the train, I think.
We're going to do the Metro Rail.
Metro, whatever, yeah.
And, because you can get on it like Pasadena.
Yeah. That's and the plan.
I think we're going to do that.
And Mr. Lindy will be moderating, as we said.
Lindy, because
so.
Josh is going to his cat concerts.
So that'll be fun.
But
WonderCon.
I will be there like the whole, I think I'm going all 3 days. And like Derek's going to be there. Benson's going to, we're all going to be there hanging out. And I'm always, WonderCon's always great.
And this is our, I think we figured out this is only our second WonderCon panel.
Second panel.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
So here's cross fingers.
We didn't get one like when they started doing it down here for the first few years.
But But I think, again, part of that was they only had, like, a few things at first.
Yeah.
It was only, like,
and some, most of those were, like, really big.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember the first year was, like, Ridley Scott was there.
Right. So and now, like, there's room for the smaller
they've opened
things.
Up more stuff. I mean, we were at that whole new place where they were doing at the hotel across.
Right.
So they've opened up new areas.
Which is cool.
And the whole fan area, which is, that's where we were. And that was fun. We had a good turnout last year, so I think that's why we got. But, like, I think they like us in that those evening slots.
Yeah. They're not highly sought after, and we get, decent turnout.
Hey, we get
a
good turnout, and our people are coming. We just talked to our friend Alex. He's going to bring his D&D group.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And
Cheryl said she's coming again, too.
Yeah.
We'll have plenty of people there.
So that's always exciting, and you can check it out, too. There are still tickets available on sale at comic-con.org, but I think they're going fast because, it's turning into a big deal.
It's
definitely growing huge. I mean, just seeing it grow over the years that we've been going, since it's moved down to L.A., there are still a lot of bitter Bay Area
people
that are mad that it left, but I don't know if that was WonderCon's fault. I think there was something
with
the convention
city, right?
Center.
Yeah.
They moved on to other things.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's their loss, our gain.
Yep. Yeah, it's nice.
Having those two big conventions in between that and Long Beach, it kind of
keeps us busy.
Cool thing. Because the next Long Beach is next Long Beach Comic Con's in September.
Yeah, and we already got the invite back. So
we're going to be back there, and I think it's like the week after L.A. Podfest.
Which we're also going to.
Or maybe it's the week before. I think it's the week before.
Right around there, yeah.
Well, they haven't officially announced the L.A. Podfest dates, but there were some dates that were thrown out there that I managed to put it on my calendar, so I'm pretty sure that's what we're looking at is like Long Beach and then L.A. Podfest, which that's super excited for that.
Hopefully it doesn't conflict.
I don't think it will.
That's good.
And because I remember last year, I think that's why we didn't go to all of it, because I think they were the same weekend.
Going on, yeah.
I think it was like on the Saturday. No, it was the Sunday we went to Long. Saturday we went to Long to Podfest. Sunday we went to Long Beach. I think that's what it was.
Well, hopefully they're coordinating it so it won't.
I don't know.
All right.
Sometimes you make those choices.
Sometimes you eat the bar and sometimes the bar eat you.
What's going on with you? I mean, you talked about...
Kind of already talked about my stuff.
And Darren Orange Show.
My Darren Orange Show. Escape Room was fun. Went to the movies. We'll talk about that at movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it. It's about my week.
For me, Long Beach Comic Con.
Great.
Had a good time.
Yep. Yeah.
And also... We were a little concerned about the Carmageddon situation because the 91 freeway was closed all weekend, and it was fine.
I think there was less traffic than there normally is.
Well, that tends to happen sometimes because they do a really good job of scaring everybody.
So nobody went anywhere.
But that's good because if they didn't do that and it was the normal amount of people on the roads, then it would be horrific, which has happened. Because I remember after the first one, so there was the first one when they closed the 405 and they made such a big deal about it that then like nobody was on the roads. So then the next time they did, people were like, well, nobody was on the roads last time. So then it really was horrible. And then it's like, that's because like it worked and now you guys ruined it.
They overcorrected.
Yeah. So, but I think now, like, I mean, because that could have been bad.
Yeah.
Because the 91's like the main, if you're trying to get around Orange County, like that's the main.
Right past like the Long Beach area.
Yeah. So, but it was fine.
Yeah. Perfect.
And then on the Saturday, I went to see a good friend of the show, Josh Rausch, saw his, short film, The Mission, and, it's really great.
Nice.
And he screened it at a film festival. It was at LA Live, Regal Cinemas, which that movie theater, LA Live, is huge.
Really?
It's like three stories. It's freaking ginormous. Huh. But that was fun. And I think he's going to start, I think he's still doing, they're doing a bunch of festivals. But it's going to be available at some point. His website is anticurrent.com. You can check out the trailer for it there. And then he'll eventually. Right. And also, he has a podcast. I want to give him a shout out. His podcast is called The Soapbox Office. And
Soapbox.
Yeah. That's clever. And they talk about, so they have their main, so they talk about movies, a lot of, they have a lot of different things going on, but then their main segment is they basically, they don't like rip on the movie, but they'll take like a popular movie that everybody loves and offer a alternative to that movie that they think is better.
Okay, that's cool.
And, but like a lesser known. So like this last two episode, they said like the popular one, so they're talking about Audrey Hepburn. Okay. So like Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Right.
And they're not to knock Breakfast at Tiffany's, but they were like, the better movie that everybody, more people should know about, Wait Until Dark.
Oh yeah.
Which is like, really good and awesome.
That's the one where she's blind.
Yeah, she's
right?
blind and yeah. it's freaking scary. Yeah. And like, and so they offered that as like a better
There's
alternative.
Some scene
oh, yeah.
Although my favorite Audrey Hepburn is still Charade. I love Charade. Later Audrey Hepburn, but man, Cary Grant, fantastic.
So, and then they also talk about just other movie stuff. Josh is working on doing a documentary about Michael Parks. And he was actually just got, so Michael Parks is from Corona.
Oh, okay.
And, but like, I guess he, like the town of Norco had like a film festival and they gave a bunch of awards to Michael Parks just recently. And so like Josh was there filming it for the documentary and they're working on some other stuff. And, Josh is just a man because he's been in a bunch of punk bands. And he's very big on the music scene. And then he went on a whole little rant this episode about aspect ratios and why they're important and why pan and scan is like the worst thing ever made. Yep. And so, but he does it in like an entertaining way. So if you're into movies, definitely check out Soapbox Office Podcasts and also working on having him as a guest
at
some point. And also, if you're a fan of Hollywood Babylon, you probably know Josh. He's the guy that does all the – he's the engineer on Hollywood Babylon. And so if you're a fan of that show, you're familiar with Josh, you should check it out, anticurrent.com. So it was fun hanging out. He had like a cool little barbecue after party.
That's cool.
And I got to like meet some of the other people that worked on the movie. Like the composer guy who was in a band with Josh.
So cool.
And then just talking about music, talking about shows and good times. And then after that, because I was already out there in the area, and Derek was at work, I went to go visit Derek's place of employment, which if you're in the LA area, Burbank area, everybody should go check it out. It's called Blast from the Past. They used to have a smaller location in Burbank, which you said
which
you went to. If you've seen the movie Tomorrowland, that's the comic book store from there. And I think that's the old location.
Right.
The new one is in Magnolia Park area of Burbank, which is like, it's like kind of like got all these old vintage stores. And then the Halloween Town store, like, I don't know if you're, they have like a regular costume shop. They have a kids costume shop. Then they have like a haunted house supplies store.
Oh, that's cool.
And like, there's a lot of cool stores, there. And Blast from the Past, they've got like movie memorabilia, comics, action figures, all kinds of stuff. So it was cool. I finally got to meet Derek's coworker, Duncan, who like, it's funny, like people that have listened to like Popsicles and stuff, like, and they like, they like know me. Like him and his wife are like, oh my gosh.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So they was really cool hanging out with him and getting to watch Derek in action.
Nice.
Selling stuff.
Did you make some sales while you're there?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And, got to like, kinda like, cause it was funny, that's how I feel like I could have fit in pretty well in that culture there. Cause like, it's like everybody that's been working, I guess like, cause like Duncan's been working there forever. And like there's this lady who had been working there for a long time. And it's a pretty, and it's not like comic book guy type. It's like, it's just a bunch of nerds basically.
Right.
And it was funny. This lady was like buying some movie posters and she pulled it out and it's double, you know, it's like, it's a real one sheet. So it's, and she's like, oh, why is it double sided? And I couldn't help it. I'm like, oh, that's cause like it helps when they put it in the light box, so it'll shine through.
Right.
Cause if it's not double sided, then it won't, like the light won't go through. And she was like, wow, that's fascinating. Like, she's like, do you work here? I'm like, no, this.
Is that what you're like? It could have been your job. Your,
but like, the other lady that like, cause like, it was almost like helping her, like, cause I was like, that's how you know they're real things. And she's like, oh, wow, yeah. And like, she's like, well, I'm glad I'm buying. So like, the other, like, the lady that I guess like has worked at the store, she's like, oh yeah, you really know your stuff. Like, she's like, you need a, like, you know, you should work here. And I was like,
get a job.
I think they're full up on. Oh. But also, like, I don't know if driving to Burbank for minimum wage would be cost effective.
Perhaps not.
But
should have played a comic shop around here.
Comic shop jobs are very, that you'd be surprised how competitive.
Well, I can imagine.
It is.
Because it's a sweet gig.
Because it is a sweet gig. Because again, like, we're just hanging out with Derek all day, pretty much just stood around and talked about nerdy stuff and
what was helping people out by telling them nerdy stuff.
And like the backstory on all these action figures and, but yeah, I fit right in right there. Like, I wasn't out of place.
That would be fun though.
And then watching like, there's some old guy that's trying to strong arm Derek into buying some comics. He's like, well, I'm just going to throw them away if you don't buy them. And Derek's like, okay. Like, we're not buying anything right now. Come back next week. And he's like, no, I'm throwing them away. He's like, and but just fun stuff like that. It was fun. Well, you can check out that store. It's called Blast from the Past in Burbank. Sweet. And then down the street, and I had heard about this place, is Rocket Fizz.
Okay.
Which, it's a soda and candy store. They actually make their own sodas in-house there.
Nice.
In fact, as I discovered because I bought one there, they are the manufacturers of the Rowdy Roddy Piper All Out of Bubblegum Soda. Let awesome. Me tell you, it's really good. And then I also had a their house Shirley Temple.
Sweet.
They had another one that I wanted to get, but I just, they had a 4-pack, so I had to pick 4.
Okay.
Cause the 6-pack, they didn't actually have boxes for the 6-pack, and I was walking back to my car, so like, I wanted to have the like nice holder.
Practical.
And, I'm on a little bit of a budget, but, so my 4 that I got were the Roddy Piper one.
Right.
I got their Shirley Temple, their in-house Shirley Temple. They also had they had one that sounded good. They had like a graham cracker.
Interesting.
But it sounded like I did a taste test, and then they had like a spicy, kind of a spicier one.
Okay.
They have a couple different in-house ones, and then they had like 80 different soda. Like, it wasn't quite Galco Soda Pop Stop level.
Yeah, but few places are. I mean,
that's the ultimate to me. Yeah. Like, that's the ultimate.
Yeah.
And, but this one, they had a ton of stuff. So I got the Roddy Piper. I got the Shirley Temple. I got a Kickapoo Joy Juice.
Because of course.
Because it's great. It's like, I think it's better because it's older. It's like, it was made before, it predates Mountain Dew.
Right, right.
And it's better than Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Cause it's like a Mountain Dew type soda.
Yeah.
But it's really good. And then the last one, which I like because it's very unique, and again, it's been around forever,
uh-huh.
Cheerwine.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
Cheerwine is good stuff. Cause it's almost a cola, but not quite a cola. It's got some...
Do you know what the name is from?
No.
Oh, okay. So, going to Galco's, the soda pop stop.
Well, he always tells you all the stories.
Yeah, I asked him about it, like, and he'll tell you everything. So, Cheerwine, it comes from Prohibition era.
Oh, yeah.
It was root beer.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't sell soda, or they couldn't sell alcohol, so they named these sodas that were, like, you know, trying to get people to buy. Oh, it's Cheerwine. Because
it was the beer companies that were, like, they had to sell something, so they didn't want to close down the breweries. Yeah.
So, that's why. That's where it came from.
Because a lot of those old stuff, that's where they trace their roots all the way back. I'm just really bummed that, like, I was talking to, who was I talking to?
I don't know.
Somebody.
Okay.
One of the, like, Strang crew.
Okay.
I think it was either Rich or, was it Sadecki? I don't know. Anyways, we were talking about sodas. And no, it was Strang, because have you ever had Dublin Dr. Pepper, like the original Dr. Pepper? Coke bought it away from him.
Uh-huh.
So for a while, even though they were still able to make the Dublin Dr. Pepper, and you could still get it sometimes at Galco,
right.
But then you could, if you knew anybody, like in Waco, Texas, and well, it's outside Waco, it's Dublin, but you could actually still buy it. And it's way better than, like, I'm not a huge Dr. Pepper fan, but like Dublin Dr. Pepper, like, holy crap, it's really good. But I guess Coke finally put the they can't even make that anymore. So now they make something else and Strangler, I forgot what he said it was called, but, and you can get that, but I'm bummed that you can't actually buy, cause it was so good. But they can't even make it anymore, so they make a new drink. But they're still making sodas.
I heard about it. It's Triplin. It's not as good.
But the Dublin Dr. Pepper, man. Cause I remember we had company when I, at 86, the company that we like outsourced our tier one support to, they were in Waco. And one time they sent us a case of the Dublin Dr. Pepper. And I was like so stoked.
That's awesome.
Cause it's so good. And it's gone now forever.
We're like to get paid in soda.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's Rocket Fizz. And they also had all kinds of old candies. I got they didn't have the fruit punch, the Hawaiian punch cotton candy.
Oh yeah.
Which I did see at the dollar store. But they had the Hawaiian punch. I hadn't had the Hawaiian punch licorice.
That was pretty good.
It was good.
It's gotta be. Hawaiian punch is
Hawaiian punch. And, but they also had, they had a bunch of other candies. They have like the Zots and Nut Goodies. And all that stuff.
I love Nut Goodies.
And just some of those candies you can't really get anywhere else. They had like a whole huge wall of like, if taffy is your thing.
Oh yeah?
They had like a million different taffies. And this is what I liked about them. The bulk candy, they didn't do it by the pound because that always like gets you.
Right.
They did it by the bag. I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're like, small bag is this much, big bag is this much.
That makes sense.
This is how they make less money that way because that's how they trick you. Right. Like Sweet Factory and all those places. Like that place at Universal, because I remember I go to Universal and I'm like, I got a thing of like Coke bottles and I bring it up there and it's like, it's $12. I was like, what?
Yeah, you can just go buy a thing. I mean, it's ridiculous. But then when you're there, you're like, oh
dude, gotta have it. Because they have like all the different kinds of gummies and like, you're like,
Yeah, my favorite to get at those places is the little raspberry and blackberry ones that have the little like hard
that
oh my gosh
like those gummy
plus
sharks
rings
all the different rings
oh
but gummy candies. Sharks and then they have the giant gummy Coke bottles like I always like those and you can only get those in the bulk.
I gotta tell you that's the hardest part of doing like a low carb thing is I haven't had candy.
Plus, so in your house, you always have...
It's everywhere. The kids have candy because they got all this stuff at Valentine's Day. And I'm like, So today, Janelle went to the vegetable stand down there by the freeway. You know,
do they take cards?
They do take cards.
All right, I got to go down
there. Got to go down. It's fantastic. But they have, like, a whole... Like, those candy set... You know, like, they always have it at those, you know, farmer market type things. And they have a whole section of, like, sugar-free ones. So she got some of those.
Sugar-free candy sucks.
Well, so here's the thing. So she got these, like, they're almond clusters with, like, caramel, but it's because I haven't had it in so long, I'm like, okay, that's pretty good, but it's not that good, but I ate a couple of them.
Also, it does stuff
that's
to your body.
That's what I'm saying. I ate some this afternoon, and before I came over here, I was like,
because that's the,
what
like,
happened?
Like they, those, that, yeah, those sugar-free, you gotta be careful.
It cleaned me
out. Stuff does stuff to you. That's the, like, loose stools.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. They should just call them that. Loose stools candy.
Cause isn't that like Alestra?
Whatever it is. Well, the sugar substitute is, I forget what it's called. There's a sugar substitute that does it in some of them. So.
And that will do stuff to you.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Cause I remember, that's the infamous, the sugar-free gummy bears.
Yeah.
On Amazon. Yeah, yeah. Where the guy, that's that review where the guy had like diarrhea, like so bad.
It's a real thing. I can tell you from very.
Yeah, I don't mess with sugar-free candy, dude.
But the good thing is, you know, you kind of do sometimes get backed up when you're doing low carb. So if you need a little, you know, unplugging, I think I got a tool now.
Well, I gotta go down there.
The place is great, though. It really is, and
they have, like, dried fruit.
They have all the. You know, you've been to those kind of stands before. Yeah. Like they have all that stuff: dried fruit,
juice,
candy. They got
fruit.
Fruit, vegetables, all that kind of stuff.
Good deals. It's all fresh.
It's all the freshest you can get.
fresh as you can get. Is that a thing?
Fresh as you can get.
No, that's like a, I think that's like from a, like the best that you can get. What is that? What is that? That's like a jingle.
The best that you can get.
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like you're just like singing something.
All right. Well, Rocket Fizz is cool. Blast from the Past is cool. Oh, speaking of songs, so when we're in our like, so first we were talking about Remington Steele. Then we did the He-Man thing.
Yeah.
Then you were talking about Riptide,
which is one of the shows we watched back
then. And
then
we were talking about how there was like an amalgamation of like A-Team, Knight Rider, Airwolf, because they had like a helicopter.
Magnum P.I.
because he had the Magnum mustache.
And like sports cars.
It's like a hybrid of everything. So then we were talking about other 80s shows. And I was like, yeah, I used to watch Hunter and Airwolf. And then we were just talking about random somehow. And I'm like, yeah, and my favorite one. And my dad and I used to watch it. And it was like, it was like a guy, the kid, and they had a watch, and they were time traveling. You're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, let's Google it. So here's what I typed into Google, and this is going to be the title of this week's show.
Yes.
And I typed into Google, guy and kid time travel watch show.
That's literally those words into
Google. And the first thing that came up was the show. It's called Voyagers.
And it was exactly how you described
it. And it was exactly what it was. Guy and kid, time travel watch show. We live in an amazing time.
The future is now.
Because I typed in... Because could you imagine going back... Because like as kids, you talk about stuff.
Yeah, what was the thing? Yeah.
And it's like, hey, here's this magic box where you type in guy and kid time travel watch show.
And then instantly pops up.
Well, that's like, I mean, I joked about it the other time when I was like looking for that Webster.
Yeah.
And I just typed in creepy doll Webster.
And boom.
Boom.
Right there.
Right away. Video clips. This one brought up episodes, whole episodes. We watched the trailer, and Phil's like, yeah, that's that show. Time travel watch with it was a guy and a kid. The guy was a pirate.
Yeah.
But still, and a kid.
It's exactly.
Time travel watch.
I was just.
The 80s were awesome.
I mean, seriously.
And
but
it was
also, and also in the 80s, you said, hey, you could do this. We never would have believed it.
No, it's crazy.
It's so crazy.
We live in amazing times.
Like, I was talking to my mom this afternoon because my mom came over and she was going to watch The Bachelor with Janelle. And I was like, oh, have you watched the SNL Bachelor sketch? And she said, no. I'm like, oh, I got to show it to you. And she's like, okay, well, while you're getting it. And I'm like, nope, got it. It's already here.
Yeah.
Like, she was going to go do an errand.
SNL Bachelor sketch.
Yeah, boom.
Boom.
There it is on my phone. Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing how instant we
guy and kid time travel watch show.
Guy and kid time travel watch show right there. Like, that's it.
And it's and then, like, if you want to get nerdy, and then we got a little nerdy about it because, like, I was like, and then, like, again, the internet, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Soleil Moonfry's brother. So we clicked the first IMDb link. Sure enough, there it is. And then we look at all his credits. And we were joking about how, like, if you're, like, a kid actor in that time period, like, because we had just talked to Keith Coogan and stuff. They were in, like, those guys that were in all of those shows. So his IMDb, it's like... Everything.
Including
like,
A-Team and Remington Steele.
Yeah, I mean, A-Team, Remington Steele, like, Silver Spoons, Different Strokes.
All the shows.
Like, of that time period. Like, being a kid actor at that time would be pretty awesome.
Oh, Steve Espinosa's in the chat, and he says, remember the curly-haired guy with the body?
Slim
anatomy?
Goodbody.
Slim Goodbody, that's it. I have a record of Slim Goodbody.
Yeah.
Of him, like, talking about anatomy.
So we didn't even Google for that.
Yeah, that one's right there. I know.
We need some nostalgia detective cases.
We do. Put us on it. Of course, now it's just blah, 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 and put it into Google.
And guy and kid it. Time travel watch show.
Yep.
Secret to nostalgia detective is half of it is Googling.
Yeah.
But knowledgeable Googling.
Yeah, you got to know how to wield it.
And also, like, you know a little bit of things just from my vast stores of useless information.
Because you got guy and kid. But guy and kid time travel watch show. Like, that is the craziest thing that just instantly hit you. Oh, yes. This must be what
well,
he's
then,
talking
like,
about.
Then, like, we typed in He-Man, Remington Steele, and there it was. There is that.
Someone had
like
a mashup video. That one still blows my mind. Because I'm like, wait. And then I'm like, no, is that He-Man? No.
It is.
It's He-Man. It's crazy.
And Henry Mancini is very famous. I mean, he did Pink Panther.
Yeah. And he did Remington Steele.
Peter Gunn.
And then got, but not ripped off, because we found out they came out the same year. So, I mean, chances of that being
hive mind, man. Yeah. Collective conscious.
Can't believe it.
And speaking of 80s, on a sadder note.
Yeah.
This happened. Rest in peace, George Gaines. Henry Warnemont on Punky Brewster. Commandant Lassard. Soleil Moonfry posted just a really touching little tribute. And then I didn't know that Soleil Moonfry had a Facebook page. And so then I'm like, and like, she's got a lot of cute pictures, like her and her kids. And
not like crazy stuff.
No, it's not crazy stuff. She get out of that? I think she got out of that. That's I think she's like a kind of a, she's kind of a hippie like type thing. Yeah. So like, but I think she has like a kid boutique store. Talked about mom stuff.
That's cool.
It's pretty standard. I'm nothing. Cause I mean, I think we've told the story on the show where we went to the Benny Hinn rally.
Yeah, definitely.
And she came out and she came down and told a story about her mom touching the TV. And
Benny Hinn and healing her through the TV.
Healing her through the TV. And we're like, no, Punky!
Not Punky!
But I think that might have just been like
Told that because it is weird that like, very early on in our friendship, I'm like, hey, come to a healing rally with me because I want to go and mock it. Like,
but then it quickly got scary, yeah, so we left.
Like, this is weird. And they started trying to hound everyone for credit cards and stuff.
And I felt like, because I've watched some videos where, like, at the Trump rallies, they're, like, actively trying to find people that aren't there. And I felt like we were, like, a step away from getting, like, found out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, things were getting weird.
It was getting weird.
And I'm worried we were going to get, like, mobbed by, like, a group of people, like, outsiders!
And, like, but that was one of the great parts about our friend group in college is that I could be like, dude, you guys, we got to go to this weirdo thing. And we had, like, 10 dudes that came with us.
My brother came.
Matt and, like, Ben and all those guys, like.
Yeah, because I also remember, like, Matt and Jeb. That was when I realized, like, I was hanging out with hoodlums because that was, like, one of the many times they just, like, stole a street sign.
Yeah. Also, I mean, my brother's introduction to college, like, he had so many weird, like.
Well, my brother, too.
Like, what they must have thought, like.
Is this what this college is?
Yeah, we go out to.
It's more accurate than what TV's telling you.
It absolutely is.
He's like, what did I do? I took him to a movie. We watched Big Lebowski in a room. We all ate Pizookie till we got sick.
Yep.
Did a bunch of just goofy, naked dudes.
Climb up on rooftops.
Yeah.
Yep. So, another interesting one that you have on here, and I didn't even know about this until you mentioned it tonight.
Yeah, so the same day, this happened like around the same time that Justice Scalia died, so it got overshadowed, but the great author Umberto Eco passed away.
Now, interesting, because I'm a huge fan of Eco's work. I've read most of the things he's written. They're very dense.
Yeah,
very,
I knew that's like,
very intellectual. Like
he gets because I've heard like some comparisons. Who's the guy that wrote The Road? Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah, but he's Italian, so it's all translated from Italian.
Yeah,
because he writes in Italian. It's like so. The way that I was introduced to him,
yeah, how did you?
There's an old movie called In the Name of the Rose. No, yeah. The Name of the Rose.
Yeah.
Sean Connery and Christian Slater.
Yeah.
And they're monks. It's almost like Sherlock Holmes, but in like 17th century, like monastery, and all these murders are happening and they go around solving. And I found a copy of it on VHS in some like random mom and pop store and fell in love with the movie. And so I looked up the book, you know, found it in a used bookstore and read it.
So that's his book?
So it's his book. And yeah, he wrote the novel is based on, and it's so like bizarre. I mean, the movie's weird as it is, and then the book is just like this dark, twisted, like, and it's filled with like literary references and poetry and historical things. It's the kind of thing where I would literally like read the book and sit by the internet and like half the time I'm Googling like what the heck is this even talking about? Like I would check out other books from the library to read about the references he's making. It's like insane because there are all these like weird conspiracy theory things and these history things. It's nuts.
Sounds like Alan Moore.
Well, here's what's crazy. So I've read, like I said, I read a bunch of them. The Name of the Rose is probably my favorite. My second favorite is this one called Foucault's Pendulum. And it was written, I want to say like in the early 80s, something like that. And it is basically, it is the Da Vinci Code, blatantly ripped it off.
I've heard about this. And I think that's what I was talking about on the radio.
Yes.
And like people were talking about it.
Except
and then they were and they were reading excerpts and like, this sounds amazing.
It's incredible. And again, like, talk about conspiracy theory.
Well, cause,
it is insane. Yeah.
Well, you still, okay, so speaking of all, like, you're talking about this and like how he does all the crazy references and then while you're reading it, then you're like doing all this extra.
Yeah.
So you have to read, crap. What's the Alan Moore, Jack the Ripper,
What are you tap?
From Hell. From Hell.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So didn't you get the ebook or like I gave it or something or like,
I don't know, maybe.
I thought I gave it to you or you did like the, no, didn't you do the story bundle that it comes, it has it or no, there was an humble bundle. No, I don't know. I gotta get it.
Okay.
So From Hell. So for like, and this is where I think I read, cause they're like, if you like this, you like Umberto Eco.
Yeah.
Because, so From Hell, like it's his theory on like what.
Right. Right.
Like, but then like, it's very, but his research, so, The first half of the book is the graphic novel. The second half is like his notes and research.
Interesting.
Like the whole, it's like 100 pages. And then when you go down that rabbit hole, like you said, you're like Googling and getting other books.
Oh, dude.
And it's like a whole crazy trail. And then it turns out like this theory is the most prevailing theory. Huh. One of the top theories, but it gets pretty nuts. Like pretty nuts.
Well, the cool part, I mean, again, because it's like, it's super dense, like, and it's told from the story of this guy who, it's so meta, because like, the line between fiction and reality.
And that's like, what it's like, that's where he said, this really reminds me of Alan Moore's work.
It's so crazy. And again, if you compare it to Da Vinci Code is like baby version.
Yeah.
Of it, like totally dumbed down. But all of the stuff is there. And I don't know if there was a lawsuit or not, but there should have been.
I think there was.
Cause I remember like hearing about Da Vinci Code. I'm like, oh yeah, I read that. That's like, wait, no, you're not. What are you talking about? Like, it's just so.
There was definitely a lawsuit. Cause I think I read a cracked article.
So when Jeff Edwards was telling me, cause he was the one that first told me about Da Vinci Code, you gotta read this. It's this crazy conspiracy thing. And I'm like, no, like that's I already read this, and he's like, "What?" And so I loaned him Foucault's Pendulum, and I think because it's so dense and intense, he never has actually finished reading it. It's still every time I go to his house, it's on his bookshelf in his living room.
I'm like, let me,
hey, we're gonna finish it,
so I can. I'll
we have to like wrestle it back out of Jeff's house because I don't know if I'll ever get it back. But anyway, so that's a shame. I don't know how long. It's probably been a while since he's actually written a book that I know of. But anyway. Seriously, I mean, it's not an easy read, but if that kind of sounds interesting, you should check him out.
Well, I know, like, because Neil Gaiman was he was really a championing.
Oh, there's also large sections of text in like other languages that you have to like look up and translate because it's all over the place. So there you go.
You'll be missed. All right, so book corner speaking of books.
Yeah.
I finished that Jack Vance Treasury.
Yeah.
It was really great. I mean, like, tons of stories. It took, cause this was like a, this is like an anthology of like,
sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, of like his short stories. And now I want to read, like, I want to try and read some of his books. Cause he has like recurring characters and there was ones that were in some of the short stories. Like, he's got this one character who's like this kind of bumbling guy who kind of like stumbles his way. He's kind of like he almost reminds you of like a Lebowski, like, but in like a fantasy, like sci-fi world. He's kind of like conniving his way through these crazy situations. And I guess he has like books that he's in and just sounds really entertaining. Those are my favorite of the stories, but then there was some other, cool little things. And again, like these very alien worlds and truly alien, like, I don't want to say hard sci-fi, but like just very different. And he's been writing since the 50s and he's influenced, like he's a writer's writer.
Right.
And then also just reading his commentary on each story. He's very hard on himself, which is kind of like
typical artist, right?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, this was garbage. And I'm like, I really like that. Like,
no, don't take it away.
But yeah. And so it was really cool reading that. And that was part of like a big Humble Bundle right. that I got. And then, so, then there was a new, you can actually still get it. It's on, there's a new, story bundle, a new story video games bundle.
Okay.
You know, the ones that had like the boss fight. So this one, it has the Untold History of Japanese Game Developers Volume 2.
Okay.
It's got a, another Hardcore Gaming 101 book. It's got their Bionic Commando Strider book.
Nice.
And it's got Boss Fight Books Shadow of the Colossus.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
It'd be worth getting just for that.
Yeah, so, and then there's a bunch of cool stuff. So the one thing that I did read out of that I already read, because it was like a graphic novel and it's not that long, uh-huh. and it's called Second Quest, and it's a graphic novel that because at first I'm like, what is this? After I read it, because it was like, I didn't quite get it.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. It's like, the artwork is amazing. But then I found out, like, reading it, because it was like a Kickstarter, it's this guy's take on, like, it's like a twist on the Zelda mythos.
Okay, because that's the first thing I thought of.
So if you're a Zelda fan, I guess, because I haven't played a lot of the Zelda games.
Oh.
And, like a lot, especially some of the newer ones, because like Zelda fans seem to really love this book, and other people are like, I have no idea what's going on, because it's like this girl, and she can like, she keeps getting these flashes of like another world, and they're like on this like sky planet, and all this other stuff is going on. I guess it's like a different take on the whole Zelda mythology.
That sells me on it right there.
And why does Cortana just randomly pop up there? That's kind of scary. But yeah, it's called Second Quest. You can get it in the story bundle. Yes, but it also is just a standalone graphic novel that you can get. But for story bundle, you pay $15,
and that
you get
a ton of
stuff. Has all that other stuff and more stuff.
Yeah.
And then just because it came out, I was a little embarrassed because she has such a shady past.
Okay.
Tammy Lynn Sitch, also known as Sunny, she was huge during the Attitude Era of WWF. She was one of the first big, she was the original, cause like in the 80s you had like Miss Elizabeth, like Randy Savage's valet, and then but Sunny was like the first WWF diva, but she didn't wrestle. She was just a manager personality, but there was a period of time in 96 where her pictures, her bikini pictures were downloaded more than Pamela Anderson on AOL. She's a huge celebrity. She's featured in Sports Illustrated on TV. And she was a great heel persona. She, and Steven said she wrestled some of the male wrestlers, if you know what I mean. and she talks about that in this book. It's a bit of a tell all.
Yeah.
And, but it's interesting what she conveniently does not mention. She tries to make it sound like she got her life all together, but then I was like, that doesn't sound right, because I know she's currently dealing with, just this past year, she got three DUIs in a row.
Oh, gosh.
But I mean, okay. People tend to vilify her, but she has had a very, rough life, and she knowing addicts, people tend to put a lot of the blame on her, and I'm not saying she's blameless, but I'm very sympathetic because she's dealt with drug and alcohol addiction her entire life. Her husband, well, they weren't actually married, but she met Chris Candido, they were high school sweethearts, and then she and him they came up in the business together, worked in the indies, made it to WWE, then left WWE, went to ECW, WCW, and then Chris Candido, he died, they both were clean at the time, they finally cleaned up from pills, right. It's mostly pills, pain, they were all addicted, but everybody, this was at a time, all the wrestlers were just addicted to painkillers, and a lot of people died. And, but they had cleaned up their act, and, Chris Candido was wrestling in TNA, and then he had a freak ankle injury. And it's just a really freak story and this happens, this is a very common thing. So he broke his ankle, and then he flew, up to back from Florida back to New Jersey, because he flew like high altitude, it caused a blood clot because he hadn't fully healed. And because you're not supposed, that's why you're not so. And right. I guess, and that's where they don't know, like, if anybody at the hospital even knew, because they're like, did he tell anybody that he was gonna be, because I'm pretty sure if he had told him, I need to fly, they would have told him, no, don't, you can't fly.
Right.
Cause you're not supposed to fly when you're, especially with these kind of injuries, cause again, like at a high altitude, you can develop these blood clots, and he died of like a blood clot after this ankle injury, like a total freak thing. And then,
it's bad.
And it was just this tragic thing. And she had already, her dad died like when she was like 20, and like her niece died like tragically. And it was like a situation where like her niece, they were very close in age. So it was more like her sister. And so she's had these like huge losses in her life, and then like addiction wrapped up and all that. So it hasn't been an easy thing for her. And then this loss of like her great love of her life and like that, and that kind of led her into this. And ever since then, she's been on like a crazy, she went to jail, she ended up with this other wrestler dude who like abused her, and it's kind of this whole he said she said thing. But again, like, we're living in a world now where like there's no reason, yes, she has lied about things, but I feel like this whole, like, as soon as the dude says I didn't do it and everybody's, oh, well, he didn't do it, like, I don't think that's good.
Yeah, nah, that's true.
So, and, like, just some of the circumstances, again, like, this dude is not, and, like, she got all tied up in this dude, and now, so now she just did a porn because she needed money. Because, so it's like this whole thing, and then she made this book, which, again, it doesn't mention certain things that, like, again, she didn't mention the fact that, like, and it's happened, like, this, she could have put this in the book, but she kind of, like, everything's great now, and I'm like, actually, like, no.
It's okay.
Cause she did just have, like, a major thing. And so she's got this book, but I mean, it's interesting just reading about her journey in the business. The wrestling stuff is interesting. Her take on the Montreal Screwjob with Bret Hart, it's one I haven't heard before. It's somewhat plausible. She claims it's a work. That means it wasn't real. That Bret Hart, like, they were all in on it. I don't think that makes sense. But her reasoning behind it, because she claims, so though, everybody should, even if you're not a wrestling fan, I'd recommend watching. I think it's on Netflix. It's definitely on, it's on Netflix or Amazon. It's called Bret Hart Wrestling with Shadows. It's one of the best. It covers the whole year of Bret Hart's career through the Montreal Screwjob, where like he didn't want to give up the title in Canada, and like in the middle of the match, they stopped the match, forcing, and like he lost, they took the title away from him forcefully.
Huh.
Like, and if you've never heard about it, it's kind of a big thing in wrestling, and so Bret Hart, afterwards, immediately, and this is in the documentary, he goes into a locker room, they can't follow him in, cause Vince McMahon, like, says, like, oh, you can't come in here. So he confronts Vince McMahon, and they left his microphone on, cause they were filming for the documentary, and allegedly, he punched Vince McMahon in the face, and then he walks out, and leaves. Sonny says, cause she did go to medical school, I actually went back and watched, and I don't think she remembers it correctly. I think that's the problem here, because she says she believes that because Vince McMahon already had like a black eye, and that's like way too quick for a black eye, but he doesn't really have a black eye. I think she's just remembering things a little incorrectly. She thinks that because of that evidence, that it was actually Shane McMahon, who you just saw, like, because he was also in the room, punched Vince before Bret even came into the room, and then they fake fought, and then, because again, there's no cameras, witness this.
Right.
So then Vince left, and that was a way for Bret to come off, like, oh, Bret got screwed, and like, he was mad. That was their way to kind of do this whole thing to get the title off of Bret. I don't think that's because there was so much bad blood and like the things that happened. It doesn't quite make sense to me, but I mean, it is an interesting theory. Cause there is still a huge amount of people that think it wasn't real. All right. It's one of those interesting things of the wrestling world. But yeah, so it was interesting to hear her, because she was there and she was really good friends with Bret Hart. And she was really good friends with Shawn Michaels. So again, she has some interesting to say about that. And I mean, but it's, unless you're a wrestling fan, even then it's still, still kind of, this whole thing is kind of like, I don't know, it's seedy. And she does some seedy things. But, you know, I don't know what I would do if I were in her position. Cause again, in this wrestling business, like, you live a certain way, you do a certain thing, and that's all you know. And then a lot of these guys don't have anything to fall back on. And then, and then she was, again, like, she was so famous. Like, she was huge. Like, huge on a level that people just aren't that, like, as Steve just said, like, people aren't as famous as she was. Like, I don't think anybody, cause like, people, like, even if you weren't in rec, I guess she was the most downloaded picture on AOL and like, and, like, she was just so big. She's in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm a little surprised that they haven't tried to take that away from her. Yeah. But I think also, again, she was so famous she's usually at WrestleCon, and like, one time, like, I was like, should I go? And then she's like, hey, and I was like, and I was like, I didn't know, like, I was just like weirded out. Like, so I never got to talk to her, cause I'm just like, cause she does things for money that some people wouldn't approve of. Right. Just leave it at that. And I didn't want to like be in this awkward situation where I'm like, but you're Sunny, and like, I'm sure she's got tons of great, and I've heard she's very nice. And she seems like a nice person.
Well, what I know of her is I know that she's very generous. Like, she shares a lot.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, Sonny and Cher.
Shut up. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I'm worried that, like, I would start talking to her. She's like, all right, that's $50. And, yeah. But it was – I just wanted to read to see what she had to say. It was interesting. It was a quick read, really quick.
And she's governor?
Where are you going? Or was it
mayor? I forget. No, senator?
He was a senator, and he was the mayor of Palm Springs.
There you go. See, I got them both.
And Sonny Bono's dead.
I know. It's sad.
Sonny's Tammy Sitch is not.
Oh, okay.
Bono, you didn't. Steve, you're just encouraging him.
Oh, Steve, you got me, babe.
Stop it. Well, that was the book. It's called A Star Shattered, The Rise, Fall, and Rise of a Diva. All
right.
Well, you tell your own story and the facts don't always mesh.
There's the facts, ma'am.
The other thing, I don't really want to get into it because I still don't know the truth. I was doing some research today. She may or may not have lied about having cervical cancer.
That's bad.
It's kind of bad.
That's bad.
Because the facts around it that she presents in the book don't all add up. Because so she says that she got HPV from this dude, and then she got cervical cancer, but HPV turning into cervical cancer, I've listened to enough Dr. Phil and like read enough things. It doesn't happen like in that quick. It usually takes like 8 or 9 years to develop into cervical cancer. So if she did get cervical cancer, it definitely wasn't from that.
Huh.
Like the facts just don't add up. And,
Steve said she meant PVC.
Yeah.
From some guy, Home Depot.
So like there's certain things like that. And then also some of the things that she said, I had to unfollow her on Twitter because she said some racist stuff.
That's bad too.
She's a Trump supporter. Just leave it at that.
All right. What else have you been reading here?
All right. I talked about Second Quest. I'm still reading Complete Book of Screenwriting. Actually haven't really read that in a little bit because I got all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But Skippy Dies, I've been reading that. It's really good. It's really entertaining. I like that it jumps around to like all the different, there's so many different characters and you find out about them. There's all kinds of funny little stories. There's like the kids and the adults and like the teachers, and there's a lot going on at this private. It's like one of those fancy boarding schools in Ireland, and
that's really
good, and it's really funny, and then it's then one of my other the next book that I read from that story bundle, this newest bundle, it's I guess this started as like an online zine. It's called EXP. And this one, it's called EXP, and then the collection is called Negatives.
Okay.
So I think it's their negative. I think it means because it's their negative reviews.
Oh, okay.
And, but, I don't know, man. This guy, like, even just reading his intro, I was like, ugh. Because he's, like, so pretentious.
Okay.
Because already he's like, I started this because all gaming journalism is terrible and all this, and I didn't want to do it for the wrong reasons. And I don't want to sell out, man. It's just very zine, very, and sure enough, he's from Austin, Texas. Just stereotypical, like, gaming hipster.
Right.
Like, on the picture, it's him doing the David Bowie, like, chain, like, the cover where he's, like, holding his hands up, but it's him, and I'm like, wow, like.
That's bold.
Like, okay. But he even said he, like, did it as a tribute to Bowie, because he wrote it, like, this is, like, brand new. Like, I think it's making its debut in the story bundle. It doesn't have a Goodreads page, so I'm gonna have to make one, because I need credit for my books, for my... So, but then, like, the reviews, like, they're written, like, in trying, they're just, he's trying so hard, because, like...
New games or old games?
It's, like, newer games. Like, it's through the period, like, the first, like, it's talking about, like, a lot of these reviews are from, like, the mid to late 2000s, so, like, talking about Punch-Out for Wii.
Okay.
There's one about, like...
You didn't like that?
Well, he said it was basically saying it was racist.
Alright.
Again, I mean, just, like, very...
Yeah.
Like... And, but like, and then like just some of the, but then like the way you write, some of them are funny, and then other ones I'm like, all right, come on, like, come on, dude. Like some of them, like, I feel like for you, it would be that pretentious garbage label.
Sounds like that.
But I mean, it's a short read. I'm almost done with it. I was reading that while I was hoping that I was going to be able to go back to sleep because I was waiting for her to finish crying.
Well. At least you got a nap at some point.
Yeah, but now I'm going to be up late. I'm going to watch the rest of Raw. I had to watch the beginning because I had to watch Shane McMahon come out. And that was awesome. And you saw how crazy the crowd was going.
Nuts.
Well,
I finished Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah! Did you see that coming?
Well, which part?
Tom Riddle.
Well, I didn't get the anagram until the end.
Ooh.
But I did kind of figure that's what was going on there. It's kind of similar. It was very much similar to the first one where you got like an underground showdown with someone who was secretly harboring Voldemort, basically.
There is kind of this convenient pattern in the Harry Potter books there's this altercation at the end of the school year. It's very convenient, like how they wait till the end of the school year
when
every
he gets
year.
Like knocked down, but then he's miraculously saved by something at the end.
There's kind of a pattern, but I mean, like, she plays with archetypes, she plays with tropes.
Okay.
And you've got
not that I didn't like it, don't get me wrong.
But there's a lot of discussion about that. Like, it's funny how they just wait, like, why don't, if they really want to throw off, they should do it at the beginning.
Like right at the
during the summer. Like,
it's Christmas break.
Yeah. Like, it is weird that it seems to be, but, I that's cool. So,
that's good. I mean, you know, I enjoyed it. I think.
Now you've been introduced to Tom Riddle.
Yeah. So I've seen, and Dobby.
Yeah.
Which,
Dobby's great.
It's cool. Here's the funny thing. So at the very end, I guess spoiler alert if people are reading it, I think I'm the last one that hasn't read it yet, so just in case.
The whole world.
But like he frees Dobby because he like has him like throw him a sock.
Yeah.
And that was such a like, it was one line that he mentioned in the middle of the book, and I'm like, when I read it, because I had read that part like a long time ago or whatever, I had to like go flip back through the book. Like, what does he mean? Like, he threw a sock at him? What the heck?
Because they free him by giving him clothes.
Well, right, but again, it was like just briefly.
Well, she does that. She throws in like these little tiny details.
So I had to go back and read the Dobby part again to figure out what the heck was going on there.
Yeah, because he gives him his sock.
He like wraps up
him,
the thing in the
puts
diary.
It in the diary,
the
and like, then it makes it look like because then Lucius gives Dobby the diary to hold on to, and because the clothes
the
in there,
is
he
on
gave
it.
Him clothes. And then he's free.
Yeah.
And that's also your first encounter with Lucius Malfoy.
Well, yeah, he's all throughout the book.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But that's the first one. And in the movies, he is played by, crap, He's so great and everything. Okay, you know in The Patriot, that guy? What's that guy's name?
He's in Pan.
That guy.
Mel Gibson.
Shut up. You know what I'm talking about?
From Pan?
The newer Pan. What's that guy's name?
I don't know. Which one?
That guy. Jason Isaacs.
Oh, okay.
You know him. He's in tons of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know.
He was in that thing. We went to a Comic-Con.
I just watched. What is he in that I just watched?
Dig?
Oh, no. You know what he's in? Wait, click on him real quick to see what his like most recent thing is. I forgot to put this on there because I actually watched another episode.
He's so good as Lucius Malfoy, dude.
Is he in...
Lithgow Saint, Justice League?
No, maybe
Dig,
not.
Star Wars Rebels?
Maybe it's just someone else Stockholm, that looks like him.
Stockholm, Fury, Rosemary's Baby?
No, because it's this year. Never mind. Not the same guy. Different guy that looks like him.
Oh. Well.
Different guy.
He's in a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of good stuff. That's cool.
I just remember my first real was Patriot, because he's like the bad guy in the Patriot. Okay. And then...
He was in Elektra, apparently.
Yeah. Peter Pan, just the regular Peter Pan. So he was the Mr. Darling, Captain Hook.
I never saw that one.
That one's actually... Mm-hmm. I like that one.
I loved Pan, like the newest one.
You are one of the only people...
I realize that, but... I think people got so caught up in the, like, because they sing, like, Nirvana songs. Like,
I know that was Derek's big
hang-up.
Yeah,
but so what? Like, I mean, it was stylized. It was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But the part that makes me the most mad about that is anyone who said it was racist. Because they didn't watch the movie then.
Yeah.
Because, Tiger Lily was white, blah, blah, blah. It was, like, every single different possible ethnicity was represented
in
that tribe.
I still argue the same thing with Aloha.
Yeah, it was intentional. It was based on a real person.
I just felt so bad because then, I mean, I showed you the thing on Cameron Crowe's website where he basically just tells everybody off.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm like, congratulations, like you broke Cameron Crowe.
Right. Because people, I mean, and it's not like, of course I'm against racism, but people are so quick
it's
to.
Not what they're quick
like,
to.
They're trying to make it a thing so that they feel better about themselves. Oh, look, I'm better because I pointed out someone's racism. When in fact, they're causing trouble when there doesn't need to be trouble.
Yeah.
Obviously, if actual racism is taking place, yes.
That's bad.
That's bad.
But not what that is.
Yes. It's not what it is.
That was the whole point of the character.
Right. And it was directly.
And it's also
addressed.
Based on a real person.
Right. And. It's very true to Hawaii. Like, there are so many different nationalities mixed together, and there's a lot of people with Asian backgrounds that are married to white people, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, like, that's a real part of the culture there.
Yeah.
So, stupid. Anyway, sidetrack. And then I just barely started Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Literally read the first chapter. This is not an issue with her writing specifically. It's when we've talked about this before, my issue with like modern like series, it drives me nuts that they have to like use the first chapter or two to like, oh, Harry Potter, who was a wizard, who like no one's picking up at book three and trying to figure out what happened.
I think that's the company.
It is.
And James Riley talked about
it. Right. And like I said, I don't blame her writing specifically. It's more the way that publishing works now. Because when you read, you know, the Lord of the Rings, well, I realize he intended that to be one big thing. But still, it didn't start. Even the publisher didn't make him go, Frodo, who was in the first part, was this.
Yeah.
You know.
It's all people are stupid.
It's just, yeah. But I think they treat people like they think they're stupid. Nobody starts on book three of a series and is like, whoa, what's happening? How can I find out what's happening? Go back and read the books in order.
Yeah.
Anyway, but again, that's not my... I don't hold that against her because that's...
Well, part of the thing also with Harry Potter is because there was some major gaps in the publishing.
Yeah.
And they figured like maybe people...
Still.
But again...
We have brains. Yeah. We're not that dumb. And if you really need to, go flip back and look at the old one real quick.
Yeah.
But the fact that like it makes her like, and again, I'm going to say they make her. I'm not going to even blame it on her. They make her say that he's a wizard again. Nobody forgot he was a wizard. No one forgot that. No one read the first two books and go, now what was he again? Is he like just a normal person? Was he a wizard? I can't remember. Like you don't need to state that again. It's stupid. But I don't hold that against these books or her.
I think that starts going away later, but the first few definitely.
Like, seriously, I just read the first chapter this afternoon, and the entire thing, and she, it's kind of clever because he gets letters from Hermione and Ron, and it's sort of masked in there, like they're talking, but it's still, it's so obvious, like, it's so cool that you're a wizard now with us at the school we go to where we learn about being wizarding. Like, stupid. So dumb.
Yeah.
So. But. So I haven't really gotten to the story of this one at all. It's all I've seen is recap.
It's great.
But I'm looking forward to it. It's been fun. I would even say, I feel like the second one was better than the first one. Like, I feel like it ramps up a little bit.
Ramping
it up
on this, again, really starts ramping it up.
Page count definitely is ramping up.
Well, it definitely keep, that's the continuing thing. They keep getting bigger. Five, I think, is the biggest
one. Yeah, I just looked real quick at page counts, and it's something like 900 pages or 800 pages.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I'm not afraid of it.
Four, they don't even get to Hogwarts until, like, page, like, 300.
I'm like, the crazy part is, that, and I guess this part I understand, that all these kids are reading this stuff. That's why people were stoked on it.
Yeah.
These kids are reading, like, 800-page books.
It's freaking awesome.
So that's great.
That's why I hated the fact that people were trying to stop that. Because I'm like, don't you want your kids to read, like, anything?
Yeah.
Let alone, like, these huge, giant books?
Now, see, it's a funny part, because my sisters have always been obsessed with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And now they're excited that I'm reading it.
It's great.
And they're like, you gotta let Audrey and Luke read it. And I'm like, I think it might be a little advanced for them at this point.
I don't know
like,
about it. I think Audrey could read them.
I'm not saying she couldn't. She could definitely do it, but, you know, it's probably a little, it's, I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving her enough credit.
I don't think you're giving her enough credit. And also, think about what you were...
It's true. But she might not have the patience for an 800-page book at this point. Maybe. Maybe she would.
The first one's not... See what she does with... Maybe try. Start ramping up.
Well, we're still reading other books together at the moment. We got our own, like, little book club that we're doing, you know. But... I'm not saying they couldn't. But...
Well...
Anyway, there you go. Good stuff. Good, stoked. Good stuff.
And the join third might be my favorite book. Definitely my favorite of the movies.
Yeah.
Although now, after I watched Order of the Phoenix again, that movie's really good.
Oh, and one more thing. I think, I can't remember if I mentioned this or not, but remember a couple weeks ago I talked about that Explorer, the Magic Doors, or the Secret Doors book? No, Box, the Magic Box. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. It was a graphic novel collection with a bunch of different authors, and it's the main guy that collected it, and he has one of his stories in there. His last name is Kazu, K-A-Z-U. The books that Janelle got me from Scholastic, he's the one that did the Scholastic covers.
Mm.
And so it is the ones that I have now. So it's not those like original ones where it's kind of, they're all like framed under a doorway. You know what I mean? Like it shows him like flying.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like an archway or whatever. It's not those. He did like, I think it's for Scholastic maybe. So that's the guy that I read the book as. So yeah.
Sorry, I got a little sidetracked. A wrestler liked the tweet that I tweet him.
No, that's good.
So I'm always excited when wrestlers...
Very fantastic.
I was talking to Hal... I tweeted Hal Lublin about... Because he's like, I would like to be a wrestling podcast. I'm like, I'm working on it.
All right. Yeah, you guys got to get on that.
We were talking about it.
I basically said I was going to force you guys to do it.
Benson's getting back on normal track now that he's got a regular job. He just started today. I hope it went well.
Did you tell him Lublin wants to be on the show?
Well, we know Lublin will be on the show.
How is he?
Huh. I think he's getting more and more busy because he has his own podcast
doing
stuff. I mean, well, what's that other thing? What's the thing? There's Welcome to Night Vale, which is still going on, and then there's the other one. It's like a radio show.
The
Thrilling Adventure Hour. Which I think that's on like hiatus or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways.
What do we got next?
New movies.
I saw a new movie.
Yeah.
I saw 200 Lander.
Is that what it's really called?
No, but some of the movie posters have a 2 instead of Zoolander. I think they like dropped that though, because like in the movie it shows Zoolander 2.
Yeah.
But I put 200 Lander.
Wasn't it supposed to be 2 Lander?
I guess. I don't know. But we saw Zoolander 2 in the theater, and it's okay.
When Phil, because this is, we all joked about this, like Phil saying it's okay means it's probably, for most people, is terrible.
It's possible. It definitely ranks near the bottom of the Ben Stiller
list. Because like when you said that, Benson's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like Benson and Lander are, whoa.
Here's the thing. It was just very uneven. There were parts that were hilarious and I was like dying, couldn't breathe laughing. And then there were some some big lulls, yeah. We'll just say. And the biggest issue, I suppose, spoiler alert, is in the first one, you have Christine Taylor as, like, the straight person
yeah.
to all their nonsense. And her character is not really present in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, her replacement is it Penelope Cruz? Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I can't, I always get her and it's Penelope Cruz. Penelope Cruz is like her replacement, except she's an ex-model too, so she's dumb. So everyone's dumb in it.
Yeah.
There is no like normal person. There's no one to like anchor it.
Yeah.
And it kind of loses, you know, like you gotta have a straight person. And that, and there's, I don't know, some of the jokes kind of drag on, but there are some really funny parts too. So I don't know, I give it like a B minus C plus. That's kind of my rating.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's worth, you know, dollar movies. Redbox, you want a chuckle or two?
All right,
that's where I get it. That's it. That's as much. That's as much as time. As much time as I want to give it.
I didn't watch any new movies.
Did you watch some shows?
Well, I watched WWE Network. We had the Fastlane pay per view last night. It's so crazy to me how people play in to WWE's hands, like. Because it's been obvious for the last 2 years, if you've even remotely been paying attention to the product, that they are positioning Roman Reigns to be the new top good guy.
They're handing over the reins.
Yeah, uh-huh. Handing him over. Because while John Cena is still the face of the company, it's smart to think about like who's going to fill those shoes in. He's currently hurt. So like, and then again, it's also funny, and this happens in a lot of things where the vocal minority thinks that everybody else thinks like them. So they think that because they don't like Roman Reigns, because he's been forced on us, that nobody else does. But you go to house shows, like where it's like the like more casual fans who aren't like talking about it nonstop on the right. internet and just like, and kids. And Roman Reigns gets the most cheers. Roman Reigns sells the most merchandise. Mm. Like, and that's what they're, like, WWE is a business. Like, it's not, let's cater to this small group of people and only do what they like. Like, if any TV show, like, if that's all that any TV show did, no one would survive. there is a reality that you have to reach out to your, especially in a WWE sense, because they do have such a wide audience.
Right.
And then they do stuff to appeal to us, smarks and yeah. So, but yeah, like Steve was at SmackDown. He said like, sure, he got booze. When the music hits, the crowd goes crazy. Like, and he was there. Like, and so this whole like Fastlane pay-per-view, they, because it's storytelling, they have your like, guy that some of the people might want. They have your Brock Lesnar. They have Dean Ambrose, but they were in a three-way match to see who was going to be in the main event, WrestleMania. But like, this was, if you have been following the story, you know, like, it's Reigns. Like, it's going to be Reigns. Reigns is the guy. But people lost their freaking minds. And this constantly happens where like, but then I'm like, yeah, but if they kept giving the ball to Ambrose, just by that nature, then you wouldn't like Ambrose because then he would be the guy. Like, a lot of wrestling fans are just going to complain about it. You can't win.
So whoever's the sellout.
Yeah.
Sellout. It's the whole.
And then it's that whole thing. But I'm like, but then if they did do your guy, if they were always, then they would be that guy. So like, I don't know. I'm happy. I think it's going to be fine. Triple H is, I mean, like, he's not my favorite, but I think he can have a good match. I think it'll be a good match. I think, and it'll send everybody home happy, the bulk of the audience. And then we're getting Brock Lesnar's gonna wrestle Dean Ambrose, the crowd, that's gonna be cool. I think they're leaning towards Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. There was good matches on Fastlane, and there were plenty of things to complain about Fastlane, just not the main event. Like the fact that, they had what was basically like a 15 minute skit instead of another match. And then they had basically two, like, I don't want to say jobbers, but definitely lower card guys wrestling when the U.S. title match was a pre-show match. Like, that made no sense to me. Mm. There was some things that didn't make sense, like, not the main event. Like, the main event was a good match. It was well done match. I mean, the one thing that I didn't like was that, like, Roman Reigns got suplex by Brock Lesnar a bunch of times, and then right after getting hit with a chair multiple times, popped back up and took out Ambrose to win. But I guess that's just them making him look indestructible hero, talking about heroes and anti-heroes. Yeah. So they make him into the big, giant, indestructible face of the company. It's one of the things they do. I think it's not the greatest storytelling. It could be told a little better. Kind of help some of the more smarter fans get a little bit more behind him. Right. But whatever. Like, there is plenty for me to enjoy. And also, if you don't enjoy, there's plenty of other things out there to watch, such as New Japan Worlds. Uh-huh. They just had a big two sets of shows with Ring of Honor, and there were a lot of good matches. My guys, the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, they won the Trios championship with Kenny Omega. That was very exciting. And they had a lot of good. It was a cool, again, like seeing these inter-promotional cards. It's things that don't happen over here very often. And it's always kind of, so it creates these dream match scenarios. And the talent level in New Japan, like, again, if you want to watch just straight up good wrestling matches, it's unbeatable. But then, like, if you're, so it's been very good. It's very entertaining. And like those cards. And then Lucha Underground. I didn't talk about this last week. But, you know, this week was the episode. It was the first one where I was sitting. You can see me.
You can see you
I'm in
there?
The front row. I was sitting in the front row. I think Denver pointed it out.
Nice.
And next week, I think this week's episode, the one that's airing on Wednesday, the next two or four episodes, I'm going to be right at the top of the stairs where the wrestlers come down.
Nice.
And there is one where unless they cut it out, like, I think it's where Cage, it's me and I'm standing right next to Brian Cage, and there's a second where I almost fell down the stairs. but I don't know. They do a lot of cuts. And again, it's also dark, but you'll be able to see me because I'm seriously like wrestlers are standing over there. I am right next to the wrestlers.
But and you can see you on
this one, yes.
Did we get a screen Not, capture?
I didn't really do that, I didn't have the chance to do it, but if anybody wants to,
because
I'm sitting in the front and there's a couple parts, different matches where they kind of go in the crowd and there's shots where you can clearly see me.
Right.
Because again, I'm a big dude, like pretty hard to miss.
That's awesome.
And, it's pretty fun, but it's not the ones where in a couple months there's a match where like Benson and I are sitting down and the wrestlers almost land on our laps and you're definitely gonna see me and Benson. That's where I think there's gonna be some entertaining. Whoa, what was that?
Let's kick your lamp.
Oh,
sorry.
That's something like broke or exploded. Man, that reminds me of the time when that big screen TV blew up.
Oh.
Scared the piss out of me. Can you imagine, like, 3 a.m, the boy, you shut up, Steve.
Yeah, it's good.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. But yeah, so there's gonna be coming up, so for the next few episodes, I'm gonna be back up on the balcony, but then when I get back on the floor, because then there's going to be 4 episodes that I'm not in.
Right.
Because I wasn't there. But then after that, when we're back on the floor, that's where it's going to be like, you'll see me in the middle of matches.
That's awesome.
Like in the middle of the action.
Well, if anyone wants to grab a screenshot, I'd love to see
that. So that's Lucha Underground. It's on El Rey Network. It's a great show. Just a lot of crazy. Joey Ryan made his debut. That's exciting. And he's a police officer undercover. That was like his back. Cause I don't get to see the vignettes.
Right.
So now seeing him, like, he's an undercover police officer. There's like a whole big thing with that. They also revealed that Aerostar is a time traveler, which is awesome. So basically this wrestler's a time lord. Like, I'm like, yes, it's awesome. I'm all for all these crazy stuff. So it's very exciting. Agent Carter has been so sweet. They had 2 episodes this week. Bridget Regan is back. Dottie, they do an awesome thing. Dottie kind of joins. They have to bring in Dottie for a mission.
That's cool.
And she's a total loose cannon. And,
you need to watch it.
It's so good. Jarvis. Cause again, like, they're in the, they're all kind of working rogue. So, like, Jarvis is in the field. Like, they're all doing, like, stuff is happening. It's crazy. It's fun. These are some of the best episodes that I've seen.
That's awesome.
They're so good. Phil, you have to watch them.
I'm on it.
They're so good. Oh, I didn't, I guess there wasn't, I guess, I mean, I watched Melissa McCarthy, but I think we already talked about that. There wasn't an episode. There wasn't
really
an episode.
Good, but yeah.
The X-Files this week was bad.
Yeah, you're telling me that.
There was like this whole like, just various, like very, it was like a post 9/11 like terrorist thing, but like stuff, it's like so old hat. And like now, cause it was like, they make fun of Texas rednecks for stereotyping Muslims, but then every Muslim character on this show, as Benson pointed out, his article on Agent Guards, is either a terrorist or the mom of a terrorist. So it's like, they're making fun of these Muslim, these Texan characters, being like, they're all terrorists, they're terrorist cells, but they were right.
They all were.
And they all were. Huh. And it was just very, like, what?
Kind of self-defeating.
And then, like, it just was very, like, and then they totally burned through. Like, it was, we had our Lone Gunman cameo, and it was terrible.
Oh, no.
It was terrible. It was like a waste. It was very bad.
Man.
And a waste of, I love Lauren Ambrose, one of my top five favorite actresses from 6 Feet Under. She's in Can't Hardly Wait. She's in a bunch of stuff. She's great. And they, cause they had these like younger version of Mulder and Scully. So she played, like, the Scully.
Okay.
And I was like, this could have been good in another episode, but, like, this is horrible.
Didn't work.
This is so bad.
Man.
So, yeah. Not enjoyable.
Is it? It's almost over, right?
They have one more episode. Which actually happened tonight.
Okay.
But then, so it's the last episode. But that one's going to tie in to the first episodes with the conspiracy stuff.
Okay.
Which some people like and some people don't like, because it kind of, I wouldn't say retcons, but it basically goes back and says, yeah, everything that happened in, like, the original show, like, it didn't happen the way you think it did.
They kind of did that throughout the
They end did of it multiple times. Well, they did it in season four, so they've done it multiple times, but this one, for some reason, you know how X-Files fans are.
Yeah, they're
really flipping out about it. I don't care so much about it, because I really like this whole Joe McHale thing where he's like a conspiracy theorist and like they help him and like there's all this crazy stuff. I don't want to spoil anything because you haven't seen it yet.
Right.
But you guys should watch them. I want to hear your thoughts.
Definitely.
Because you guys have watched the whole thing way more recently than I have.
Plus all of the side spin-off things and everything.
I know you're a very big fan. So I want to hear your thoughts.
Audrey, it'll be interesting to see if Audrey, like, eats a bunch during it. Because that was her, like, feeding time show when she was a baby. Like,
what if it's like
it's just gonna trigger like
Pavlov response.
That was it. Yeah, like Audrey knew. Like,
she hears the song.
I'm hungry. That'd be interesting.
But they did say because I guess the ratings were just like crazy.
Well, I'm sure.
But so far the best episode by far was the episode with Kumail. It was so good.
That's awesome.
Like,
dude, you got to see the grinder for the Kumail.
Kumail's awesome.
Oh my god.
How soon before, like, cause I know, I mean, he's on, I mean, I guess he's like a main character on Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like we're really close, like he's getting his own show. He is working on his own Netflix series. Like, I think that is a thing that happened.
You sure this is not another of your fever dreams?
No, I'm gonna look it up. I think that's real. I think that's a real thing.
He's gonna be in the new Zelda show. People are still passing that around. Are you sure it's not real?
It's not real.
I want to believe it's real.
Maybe I am imagining that.
See?
Hold on.
Maybe if enough people repost it, it'll just become real. If you believe it hard enough.
He said that, I think he did announce that he's doing something.
He announced he's doing something?
Yeah, Greenlight's new comedies. So IFC, something.
All right. Well, that's good.
There's something going on.
That's good, because he's amazing.
Because he's great and everything. I mean, it was cool. So we got to see them do a live indoor kids. And his wife's really funny.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Emily, she's great. And still got to read her book, Super You.
Yeah. She's smart.
Yeah.
She's smart.
She used to be like a therapist.
Yeah.
And so that's X-Files. American Crime Story this week was great.
Yeah.
They brought in like Dershowitz and then Cochran like joined the team and just you want to like, they make OJ likable, which is crazy.
Talk about anti-hero.
And but then there's like more like there's a whole scene where Robert Kardashian, played by Ross Geller. but he takes the kids, the Kardashian kids, the Chin Chin. and then he gives them this, I feel like I'm like, Ryan Murphy, what are you, like, it's kind of crazy. So he's giving him this whole speech about fame just for being famous is empty. And I'm like, I don't think this actually happened, but I get what he's doing.
Right.
'Cause it's like his whole commentary on the Kardashians. 'Cause he's like with the kids who ended up being like super famous
for nothing.
And he's giving this whole speech. About, cause he's getting recognized and they get whisked in to get a table and they're like, oh, this is awesome. This is great.
You remember Chin Chin? That place is fantastic.
I know, I loved it. Apparently there's still one somewhere.
So who in the show plays Leslie Nielsen? They don't address Leslie Nielsen?
Of course not.
He must have been heartbroken.
He's dead.
Well now, but someone has to play him. Who would play Leslie Nielsen?
Did Leslie Nielsen ever comment on the OJ thing?
No, but, I mean, they gotta explore that area.
No, Steve
Martin could do it.
What, are they gonna, like, show, like, they probably would just end up showing old clips, and then they'd superimpose.
But who would play real Leslie Nielsen?
I feel like there might be pictures of, like, Naked Gun and stuff, but I guess I wasn't paying attention.
That's the only part I
think they just got, like, some random lookalike. Because they have, like, pictures, like, still pictures, like, in his house and stuff. But it's not, like, OJ. It's, like, it's him.
Right.
And so maybe I think they did do some still stuff. And
that'd be something.
So it's a very entertaining, and it just kind of captures. There's a, like, the guy they got to play Kato is just, like, so perfect.
Huh.
And the whole, like, some, like, first, cause he's like getting recognized by girls and then some dudes like bike ride by and like spit on him.
Huh.
And like, and I'm like, he just lived at the house. It's not like, I mean, cause I know there's theories and like, there's a, like, I mean, there's the Michael Moore theory, which I found out more people than just Michael Moore subscribe to that, cause OJ had an older son who had like mental issues.
Huh.
And he was around, but again, the physical evidence and the blood evidence and all that stuff, it really is pretty ironclad. And this, they even talk about, like, they, like, Shapiro, like, knew, he's like, we're never gonna win if we try to be like, oh, he's not guilty. They just attack all the evidence and everything, and then they also make it a racial thing.
Right.
And they bring up the Mark Furman thing, and that was just, again, one of those unfortunate things that the cop, the detective in charge, did happen to be a horrible racist person. And it's just one of those crazy unfortunate things. And luckily, I mean, he had the money to have the attorneys that were able to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's crazy. The whole thing, just watching again, you're like, this is crazy. And it is. It's crazy.
Crazy.
But, you know what else is crazy is, I watched the second episode, 11/22/63.
Still good.
Oh, dude, it's great. Oh, I didn't even mention that's in my currently reading, so I started reading the book again.
Oh, okay.
Because I kind of just wanted to, like, get sucked in, and, like, it is, like, so he is now actively, so, like, he's actively trying to, like, cause, like, this happened in the book where he does, like, a test run for, like, instead, like, he's trying to do a smaller thing.
Okay.
In the past. And, And Annette O'Toole makes a appearance in this episode who, for Stephen King fans, she played adult Beverly Marsh in It.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's cool seeing her in another, and I think that's probably why
right.
They put her in there. So it's pretty cool. Also, it was kind of a, she's playing like way older than she actually is.
Huh.
So like they kind of older up.
Well, is that possible that they would show her in the past more too?
Hmm.
I mean, like, is there a reason maybe they would show her in the past?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, if they make her look older, sometimes they do that so that they can later show them
younger. No, she's an old person in the past.
So maybe they're going to go further in the past.
I think she's only in this episode.
For the prequel, 11-22-53.
She was Ma Kent.
There you go.
But, yeah, so that was exciting. It's a great show. Franco is so good. Like, I read some things criticizing Franco, and I was like, it's freaking nuts.
You don't criticize Franco.
He's great. It's great. It's really exciting. It's getting pretty exciting. I'm excited when they actually get to, like, the Kennedy stuff. But, and, like, they are doing some things a little differently than the book, but it just makes sense for the narrative flow of the show because, again, this is a very long, huge book. Actually, they even already condensed it. I didn't realize this. In the book, he go when he travels back, it's 1958, so he has to wait 5 years. All so right. In this, they already start, it's 1960. So they already fast forward 2 years. Because I think that was already, like, too big of a time window. Right. Where, because again, this is only like an 8-episode miniseries. They only have so much. And then, so I think they do kind of give him like they, it's at the end of this episode. They give him like a sidekick kind of, just to kind of help.
Like a talking animal kind of thing?
No. Like another person.
Okay.
In the past.
Okay.
That helps him, which he kind of has in the book, but not as much. That they, I think they're gonna do in the show, just based off of, like, the coming next week things. And, but I think they just needed that to kind of keep things moving and to kind of create more. Cause again, a lot of the book, since it's, he's by himself, it's like internal monologue in his head. And you can't really do that in TV. And this is where, again, people that flip out about it, cause I'm like, I don't think you even, like, understand how movies work. If you're trying to make, as like, stuff in books, some of it just will not translate, because a lot of books, you get the internal monologue, you get the, right. You can't just have that, like, yes, you can do voiceover, but after, it's like, usually this usually terrible in movies, and like, so like, they have to have this second character when he's, but when, because again, for a huge chunk of the book, he's by himself.
Right.
So they need to give him this other guy to talk about his plans, what he's doing, what he needs to do. And they also have, I mean, and then there's things they can do in the movies that just don't come across really well in the books. Cause like you can flash back to like Chris Cooper who's giving him these instructions and who did all the things like, all right, you're going to need to like do this so they can actually do like real flashbacks.
Right.
So they can use that device. But again, people that are super crazy, like, but there's always going to be those people that will never understand, like, different mediums. Right. You have to do things differently. And also, like, yeah. I have to hurry and get to Dallas. Did you hear that? Hear that self? Yeah.
So the next one.
New Bob's Burgers.
It's so good.
It's so funny.
If our listeners by this point haven't watched Bob's Burgers, you got to.
Some great songs.
Oh my gosh. Oh, the cease and desist song was so fantastic.
And the whole cease and desist thing. So the kids fight, so Bob like slips in front of Gyro's studio, cause Gyro's
fighting.
Gyro's like, what, he's like the sandalwood oil. He's like, you're just pouring oil on the street.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Like, what's wrong with that? Like, so, and so then he gets a torn labrum. Which I knew was a real thing because a lot of wrestlers get that injury.
Right.
But then like Gyro can't afford to like pay for a surgery, so he offers to like heal him, but it's actually like working. And then like, but first they go to a lawyer, and the only thing the kids get out of it is that they can send like fake cease and desist letters, so they use it. They like overuse it all the time.
Like extra taco filling.
And then they like blackmail Fish Odor.
Yeah.
Which, it's still crazy, like, the voice, like, that's Kevin Kline.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin Kline doesn't do, like, anything.
Yep, but he's Fish Odor.
And, like, because I read an Onion interview with, like, Lauren Bouchard, he's like, dude, we just have these pie-in-the-sky ideas, and then we just, like, I'll ask Kevin Kline, like, I'll ask, it's not going to happen, but then at least some of these things happen. Like, it's just crazy. And,
it's so good.
It's so funny, and, like, the songs, and, like, then the whole thing with like the burger of the day and Teddy's just like bringing the board's blank. It's like, I'm gonna come back. It's gonna be something I'm bored, Bob.
I love all his like bad ones. He comes up with like the head, shoulders, knees, and tomatoes. And like, it's a burger with tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you did a good job. You got that one out. And then you did like a...
The time...
Oh, say cheese. Cheese on a burger. Yeah, it's a cheeseburger.
Oh, like with the runny egg.
Oh, yeah.
He's running like, out of time.
Well, that's like his time good is one he comes out. Up with a runny egg. And he's like, that sounds good, except I don't want that runny egg. That's
or the
gross.
Time.
Or the time.
Just give me just a give burger. Me
a burger. Oh, it's so good.
And then, like, I love the whole thing with Teddy because they're like, guess who's coming over? Teddy's like, me.
It's me.
It's me.
Oh, it's probably him because he's got his luggage.
Teddy's great. I love Teddy.
Yeah.
Such and then Goldberg's Weird Al episode. Yeah. I cried.
It was so good.
It was so good. It was so funny. But it was
also, like the whole breakup story.
Yeah. Oh, because, like, that was like every tween teen breakup, like just relationship. Cause like things like that happen. You do this like, and then like long distance things, like when the kid, like my best friend, I mean, I had a best friend who's also like my girl who was a friend, not a girlfriend,
friend
but like
girl.
She moved away and like it was just this whole big thing and like trying to make that work. And then we realized like, oh, we're different people and like,
Weird Al, like, first of all, with the costume and hair.
When he does that hair, like, he hasn't aged.
He looks exactly
the same. And, like, that hair was just amazing. Yep. And then he was so funny.
Oh, my gosh,
funny.
He was amazing.
Like, I want to watch this. The scene where Beverly is just, like, saying things.
And he's rattling off spoofs.
And you can tell he's just coming up with those, like, oh, my gosh.
So, so good.
And then, like, just the whole thing, like... Why do I even have security?
Yeah, she was obviously a crazy person.
Like, why do I pay for you?
So good.
And then, like, the song they come up with, everybody have fun tonight. Yeah. My brother Barry is a wang tonight. It's like,
there's no context. Who is this Barry person?
Just his parody song about Barry. Oh. And then, like, the whole thing with Barry and Erica, like, trying to counsel the dad.
Oh.
And Jeff Garland is so funny. They're all, it's like, it's so, so good.
It's so, so good.
And, it's a funny show. So good. Good show.
Well, the one more I have to add to the lineup that is also so, so good, and you really should start watching it.
No.
The Grindr.
There's too many shows.
Fantastic episode this week. Really funny, and, Maya Rudolph is the guest. Like, she's been on the last couple episodes. And she's like the psychologist that's helping him out, and she's like hilarious, and it's so weird, and it's just great. Fred Savage is great. All the people are great. Oh, Zadak is like the boyfriend. He's like got a big role in this one, and he's really amazing.
Zadak,
you gotta watch it. You don't know. I guess if you haven't watched it, you don't know. But like,
what are you talking about?
There's just this running gag with a girl, like his daughter. Fred Savage's daughter has a boyfriend named Zadak. And they all hate Zadak, and he keeps coming over, Zadak!
Like, oh, thing. I forgot one show.
What else?
I haven't talked about it. The Muppets. So since, because they were off for a while, and then they kind of retooled the show, and then they made fun of the fact that they retooled the show, and then they, because some of the things they did, like they feature, like more of the Muppets are actually on the Miss Piggy show, and they're doing more bits and stuff, and then even on the show itself, they kind of feature the Muppets more, like the rest of the Muppets. And then, like, Kermit and Piggy sing a duet. And, like, it was so good. And I was like, why haven't they been doing this? But, like, now that they've started doing stuff like that again.
That's good.
Like, it's so great. And then, like, the first one of the new one had Key and Peele, and that was awesome. And then the last one, the one after that, they had, like the writers, like Gonzo and, like, Pepe and Rizzo move into Steve. They buy Ian Ziering's like house and like Ian. Sorry. And then this last one, there's this like network guy and like trying to. And he's like the show fixer, and his name spelled out is Pizza, but it's pronounced Pache. It's just one of those dumb things, and like is really funny.
That's funny.
And so Pache takes like because he realizes that. They're not doing what he wants them to do, so he tries to subvert Kermit by, like, he takes because Rizzo and Gonzo and Pepe are the writers of the show.
Right.
So he takes them out to buy suits and, like, takes them to lunch, and he's like, it's like, normally they never get to leave, and, like, so then, like, Kermit learns that he needs to show more, but it's just really, it's a whole, because the trio, like, the Rizzo, Pepe Gonzo trio, they're really funny. And
good stuff.
Just a lot of funny stuff. You see even Steve Pizza.
Pizza. Speaking of Key and Peele, one of the best parts of Zoolander 2 is they had a full, like a new trailer for Keanu.
Oh my god!
And it was so great.
I cannot wait for that.
It looks so stupid and awesome, and I can't wait.
I can't believe Keanu.
There's a whole movie of that. And Janelle hadn't seen it at all yet. Oh, she was just like losing her mind. Like, it was so great.
Yeah. Because the first time I saw somebody tweet about it, I'm like, oh, that's funny. That's a fake thing.
Totally.
And then I was like, and then like I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh no, this is a real. And then I like read about it. And like, because I remember, I'm like, wait, I remember on, I think it was like on Pete Holmes or somebody, like they talked about it. So I'm like, oh no, this is it. This is the Key and Peele movie.
Yep.
Like, and I love that that's what it is.
Because it's so them. Like, it's just such a stupid premise that's going to be amazing and perfect.
Oh, they're amazing. Like, again, on the Muppets, they were great. And this one, they have a whole thing where, like, Piggy realizes she doesn't have friends, but then she realizes that she does. And then there's a whole thing with, like the dragon guy. I keep forgetting his name.
Yeah, that guy.
And, like, but because Piggy, like, adopted a penguin, then he has to take... And it's just this little cute thing where he has a little penguin. And the penguin's adorable. Uncle Deadly. That's Uncle his name. Deadly. So Uncle Deadly now, it's like a recurring thing now. He has a penguin.
Huh.
And he takes it around and they hang out.
That's cool.
And the penguin, it's funny because the penguin's not, the penguin is a penguin. Like, he doesn't talk. But it's like a little baby penguin.
Hmm.
And he's really cute. And, this is really, it's so good. It's so good. Like, I love the Muppets. People are crazy.
You also will like the Grinder. Just saying.
All right. And then I started watching, because, I mean, Judd Apatow, Paul Rust, Gillian Jacobs, Netflix show. Come on.
Yeah, it's a good combination.
It's called Love. It's definitely, it's dirty. It's
with that, I would expect definitely, nothing less.
But Paul Rush, I hope he just, because like I've known him from the comedy scene, Comedy Bang Bang. He plays a lot of different characters.
Yeah.
He's very funny. Even on the live one that we saw, he was there. And if you listen to the actual show, he has a whole little segment, his no-nos segment, like, new no-nos, no-no this, and then just his characters on Comedy Bang Bang.
Right.
And he's very funny. So he's the star. It's like his first big starring thing. And he's about, because, I mean, he co-wrote the Pee-wee movie. He's worked on a lot of stuff with Apatow. Like, again, like, and then, like the fact, this Pee-wee movie is insane because it's Judd Apatow, Paul Russ, Pee-wee, the director, the Wonder Chosen guy, like, holy freaking crap. And, like, already that trailer just looks nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it's got the lady who played Simone, but I looked up, because at first I'm like, is she actually playing Simone? I looked up on IMDb, she's playing a different character.
But that works.
At least she's
again,
in it.
It works with the
yes.
Pee-wee, like,
but at least,
multiverse.
Like, it's the universe, yeah. Like, so I'm super stoked. Joe Manganiello, that whole thing,
yeah.
Like, and just like, oh. So excited.
Looks great.
So excited. And he, again, he looks.
Yeah.
Like with the makeup on.
Different.
Like, oh, anyway, so Love, really funny. The first episode was good, but it gets even better. Like, once they actually, like, because the first episode is like them and their separate relationships that are going bad.
Right.
And then, like, at the end of the first episode is how they meet. Okay. And it's just, Gillian Jacobs is so, she's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, there's lots of good, like, cameos and other things. Like, I already told you, Dave Gruber Allen and the guy who plays. So it's Mr. Rosso and Mr. Kachevsky from Freaks and Geeks.
Right.
And they're roommates in the apartment complex that he lives at.
So cool.
And they're on the show, like, a bunch. And then, like, I forgot her real name. Cheryl. She's in Knocked Up, like, the weird girl. And then she's in This Is 40, Leslie Mann's, like, the one that was stealing everything.
Yeah.
Like, that girl.
Okay.
And she's really funny. Like, you know, Apatow's using all
his
people.
Crew.
He's got his crew. So it's just been so good, and it's really funny, and
it's cool.
The way it portrays, again, like, realistic portrayals of, like, just all the, like, dating and just stupid stuff with relationships, and it doesn't pull any punches, and I really like it. And that's another thing that Derek's been, we've been so off,
yeah, he's been
out
on
of
like
sync.
A negative
like
bent lately.
Turned bad. Maybe Harry Potter Land will make him feel better.
Maybe so.
Because he's been, like, living there now.
It does look cool.
Yeah. I told Patrick. Patrick, like, freaked out. And Patrick had just been there.
He wants to go again. All right, what do we got next here?
We got you falling asleep.
I am.
Well, I already talked. I guess that was Soda File. They talked about the Roddy Piper soda. Roddy Piper soda was good. And, I mean, Cheerwine, Kickapoo, Joey, it's always good. But these Rocket Fizz sodas, well, I think they have a website, and I think you can order them. And I know you can get the Roddy Piper one at other places, but they are the ones that make it.
That's cool.
And, yeah. So I guess that was a Soda Files. There hasn't been any new Doritos for a long time.
Yeah, there really haven't. What's going on? I don't know.
Is Doritos stagnating?
They're done with introducing new stuff?
They're focusing. It's all those dumb Lays.
Yeah.
So many new. Why are they getting all the new Lays? And there's, why don't they do that with Doritos?
I know, because they're like what
fans
wants.
Pick the flavors.
Plus the Lays ones are gross. They've done some really weird ones.
And some of them like all taste the same.
Yeah, and they do a lot with that fake the biscuits bacon and gravy flavor, though. And I thought
the biscuits and gravy one was pretty good.
Yeah,
the sriracha one.
Sriracha is good, but I'd rather have a sriracha Dorito.
Why isn't there a Sriracha Dorito?
I don't know.
There was a Tapatio. Maybe because of the Tapatio deal.
I don't know, because I love the Tapatio
Doritos are gone.
I feel like I see them every once in a while.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe. Maybe not, though.
I haven't seen them in a long time.
Maybe.
I think I've... Well...
I don't know. We've got to work on that.
So I've been playing a ton of Fallout 4. I've got to order the... So they announced... DLC is starting to come out soon.
Yeah,
and they announced, so there's going to be three, there was the initial three expansion packs, which they had already said, and then they said they're going to do more. So they're actually, as of March 1st, the price of the season pass is going to go up because they're doing so much more DLC. But if you get it before March 1st, you can still pay the $30 price and get everything. So I've got to get that once I get paid before March 1st. So I can get it all. And they're going to be more because my favorite missions, there's like a detective and you can, and then you work some of the detective stories, but there's only like two detective missions. But this, the big expansion where it's like a new world, like a new part of the map and like new missions, it's all going to be a detective case.
Nice.
So I'm very excited about that. And then there's stuff they haven't even announced yet. So that's all going to start happening. I'm at level 55. I'm working on getting all the bobbleheads, but it's a lot of work. And I'm at like 89% of the trophies.
Getting there.
It's going to be a lot of work to get to 100%. Cause I, even using help, like I'm having a hard time finding all the bobbleheads.
It's a big task.
I did find a bunch though. Like I've been going around doing a lot of exploring. And finding, like, if you find a big new building that I haven't been in yet, usually there's either a magazine or a bobblehead in there. But there isn't an achievement I found out for the magazines. And I do have almost all the magazines. Mm. But, yeah. Pokemon Picross.
Yeah, did you ever solve that big one?
I need a Pokemon that can help me with a big one.
You don't have to.
I'm not good at it.
The big ones are tough.
I gave up. But I am going back and working on some of the unlocking the missions,
yeah.
So I can get more Pikrite so I can unlock more things. So I'm working on that, doing that.
Cool.
And yeah, so I'm still pretty addicted to that game. It's pretty great.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of that and Pokemon Shuffle, as always. Still almost done with Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask. I'm almost done with the story, and I've already gone through and all the extra download ones. I beat all, I mean, I solved all the puzzles, so that's the last thing I have.
Josh also went off on you for Animal Crossing.
Yeah, he did. I still think he's wrong. He hasn't actually played it. He just saw a video of it.
But what is, like, so you're saying there is more than just...
Yeah, like,
what?
You have to play into it.
Like what?
Like again, like, you invest in the turnips and have to, like, find a good day to sell them. There's, you know, each day you have, like, a different person that comes to town, and you, like, unlock, like, different little, you get, like, these little medallions that let you, like, do different moves.
But you don't actually play mini-games, so what do you do?
No, but, like, okay, think of, like, Monopoly Party. You don't play mini-games, and it's a board game.
Okay.
But there's different, like, activities you do.
Like what?
Like,
Like the turnips.
Well, like the turnips is a good example of like, you know, trying to make money. Cause you're trying to get money and you know, the bells. And then you have to get these stamps. So you go to like the different corners and you have to earn stamps to fill up your stamp board. And that gives you extra bells.
I feel like playing this by myself might not be.
It might not be. And like I said, I'm not sure it'll be the best alone, but it's again, it's not a typical video game. It's definitely a board game. And if you like Animal Crossing and if you enjoy board games, I think it's a good fit. It's not for everybody. It's definitely like for a target audience, but we've had like a lot of fun with it. It's super cool. So, and it's definitely not the kind of thing where you'd watch a video and go, oh, I've got to play this. Much like I would say that for Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fun watching someone else play Animal Crossing.
I'm not that big on watching anybody play. Yeah. I still don't quite get that.
I don't either. But there's at least some that, like, there's action or something to see. Animal Crossing is not that game. And this board game is very much, it's not fun to watch other people play a board game, but it's fun to play. If you like board games and you like Animal Crossing, I think people will like it. And I think the people that do like it are going to love it. And the people that don't will have no interest in it. And Josh is definitely one of the don'ts. That's okay. That's fine. It's fun though. I like it. Like it a lot. The kids like it. The kids have been playing Animal Crossing on their respective DSs.
Yeah, when we were at Long Beach, Janelle called to ask if it was okay for Luke to play
the New Leaf.
Did he start playing it?
Oh, he's been like, he's all over it. Well, and what got him hooked on it is he heard like that you could get Zelda items in it, and so he's been like trying to collect all the Nintendo stuff. Audrey's been doing the design one still, whatever that one's called. And so there's been a lot of Animal Crossing around the house lately.
Cool.
So yeah.
That's good. Exciting.
But you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time.
It's time. It's time. It's Marmaduke time.
Let's see.
I feel like, again, we've gone to a very dark place.
Interesting. Oh, I already just glancing at that. I think...
Are we out of the woods?
No, I think we might be in this world still.
So the last one was where he like basically had to avoid getting sexually assaulted.
And the kids were like forcing him to wear women's clothing.
They're torturing Marmaduke.
But he also pretended to be a person to walk away from him.
So he wouldn't get sexually assaulted by the male dogs.
Alright, so this one stars Phil, the dad, and
Phil
Marmaduke.
Phil is evil.
Yeah.
Phil is like the villain of this story.
Oh my gosh. So he's starting out screaming at the dog. I am in command and we are going to have an obedience session.
Jeez.
And Marmaduke's like very like not having it. He's unhappy. Now I want you to sit. He's yelling at him. Looks very angry. Don't you get it? When I say sit, I want you to sit. Marmaduke's very angry. Also, his head is very, very out of proportion with the rest of his body.
Yeah, what's going on there?
It looks like that end of the Scooby-Doo movie when Scrappy-Doo gets all giant and his body's tiny.
Yeah, that's some lazy drawing there.
So there's that. Okay, sit. He's like forcing Marmaduke down. He's shoving his back down.
Animal torture.
Dog's like growling and he's super upset. And then he sits down. See, like this. Sit! And he sits down by the bowl. And now Marmaduke's happy. And the neighbors, now in the last panel, the neighbors are looking over the fence. What are they doing? And the guy says, Marmaduke is teaching Winslow to sit. And Marmaduke walks away satisfied.
So he's getting his revenge.
He got his revenge.
This is after Phil hit him with the car.
But after he's like, he's hit him with the car. Now he's yelling. He's shoving him down, grabbing him, screaming
at him. Man, this is like animal torture.
Yeah. But
I'm like rooting for Marmaduke now.
Yeah, well, he did outsmart the guy. But yeah.
Dang, we've gone to a weird place.
It's getting dark. He's screaming at him. He's shoving
now
him.
Now man is the animal.
Yeah.
I guess this is like this is some Animal Farm
it is.
Type
it
stuff.
Is. I think maybe Brad Anderson is like smarter than
this
we thought.
This is like some subversive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are the true animals.
We're the animals. And see, Marmaduke is people. He's trained him to sit.
Yeah.
Marmaduke is people, and people are animals.
Whoa.
Dude.
What is happening?
Dude. Who's the real animal here? Also, really weird proportions.
And Phil is evil.
Yeah. Like, look at those faces he's making. Screaming at him.
Bad Phil.
Man. This is nuts. Marmaduke is nuts.
This is completely insane. Like, coming from the first comic where we were just like groaning and this is stupid to like, what is happening in this comic?
And it just keeps going in this direction. Oh my gosh. I can't peek till next week.
Well, stay tuned.
That's Marmaduke. Marmaduke's in some dark places.
Yep.
But he's the real... I think that's it. I think he's onto something.
I think we're entering... I wish... Gosh, if Brad Anderson was still alive, like...
interview him.
Oh.
What was going on?
What the deal was?
Who is the real person here?
All right. Well, this has been Guy and Kid Time Travel Watch Show.
That's right. Thank you for joining us.
And be sure to go to RadioBrendo.com for all your Radio Brendo Man stuff. Send us those emails, contacts. Let us know about the consulting, what you think. Yeah. And maybe if you need any, if you have friends or if you are interested, you know, we're good enough.
Yeah, we're good enough.
Good enough.
That's our.
We're not going to charge you crazy amounts.
Yeah.
Whatever you, what you feel like.
We'll give you some good advice, though.
Make us an offer.
Yeah. We can't refuse it.
Well, we can.
We can.
We probably won't.
We probably won't. We have so many good taglines.
We probably won't.
Make us an offer. We can refuse, but we probably won't.
Good enough.
Yeah. We're good enough.
Got a lot of tips, know a lot of stuff.
I'll tell you some stuff.
I'll tell you some stuff.
What do you want to know?
And, yeah, so that's exciting. Don't forget, BenviewNetwork.com, Mandarin Orange Show.
Yep.
I think we're going to record a new Popsicles at some point. Nobody's responding in the group message. I think we're at a standoff because Benson's like, I'm waiting for Derek. I think Derek's waiting for Benson. And I just said something and nobody's saying anything. So I don't know.
Got a good old-fashioned standoff. We're in like a
Popsicles Benview standoff here. And Derek's too busy living in Harry Potter land.
Well, Benson's got a new
drinking that butter beer.
It's butter beer's got to.
Oh, dude, I want to have some butter beer. It's probably so good. Oh,
that sound delicious.
Yeah. And they got like he said they even they have a Hogshead and they have like fire whiskey.
Really?
And like yeah, and then like the and then they showed like the food because it's like British pub food and it looks really good. And there's like corn on the cob and
so they have a candy shop?
Yeah, oh yeah, Honey Dukes.
Oh man.
You can get all the candy.
Not the gross ones though, but like the cool
stuff. You can get the gross ones.
I know, but I wouldn't want to get the gross
ones. Well, they did have chocolate frogs at Rocket Fizz and I almost got because it comes with the cards.
The card.
And they had chocolate frogs, they had Bertie Bott's beans, and they had forgot what the other thing they had was. They had another thing that looked good. But they have even more stuff. And they have, so you can buy a wand, and then, here's why I want to buy one, is because then at the park, it's like a Disney World, they have like windows, and you can interact, and you can do like things, and like stuff happens.
That's cool stuff.
And like, dude, and like, and there's even, because they have the Ollivanders, like the selection ceremony.
Right.
They pick one person, and Derek says he's figured out where you stand to like get picked.
Oh, really?
Because they only pick one person to do.
You know, you can thing.
Buy a wand, and they have every character's wand, but then they also have, like, your different... Because, like, I want to actually get the wand that I have on, like, Pottermore. On like, yeah. So I can actually, like, my wand. Although some of the wands, like, are pretty cool. Like, some of the people's...
I want to get Ron's broken wand.
Yeah. You can get that.
Yeah.
Sure, you can get that.
And discount.
Discount wand.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go next door to the discount wand shop.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm pretty want to do some of that stuff. But
the title of the store next door is which wand? Which one do you want?
Wow. Which wand?
Which wand?
Do you wand?
Which one? We wand you. The wanderer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. RadioBrendo.com. Check it out.
Do it.
BenviewNetwork.com. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Thanks for listening, everyone. You guys are awesome.
Yep. Tell your friends.
Tell your mom.
Yeah, tell your mom.
Why not?
Tell my mom.
She might like it. Never know.
If you want to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Why your mom?
My mom knows about it.
Your mom listens
sometimes.
My aunt said she's going to listen.
Yeah. She might be listening right now.
Yeah. Hello.
What's up? How's it going?
She did like you and your kids.
Yeah.
She said
she's very nice.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it. So for Radio Brendo Man, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody. Thank you.
coping with a thing. Is they strolling to make their claim? An art of utter pain turns everybody on. Well, I try to keep distance, every day's the same for everyone. It's about the door, the competition has begun. I'm looking out the window for a sign, pick me up on time. The queen insisting by their past relationships, they were broke.
Podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.
I'm Jordan, and this is Nerd's Eye View. Who do I have with me?
I'm Andrew.
I'm Tom.
And what do we do here, Andrew?
Well, we talk about movies. Every week, we always talk about something that's new in theaters, as well as tell you what's going on with the box office top 10 and what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray.
And then we do a crazy thing called Guess the Ending, which Andrew has a wonderful catchphrase for, but it mainly involves us coming up with crazy stories for all the new movies that are coming out.
So if any of that sounds good to you, find us online, nevpodcast.com, or on Twitter, at nevpodcast, or benviewnetwork.com.
What was I supposed to say?
Shut up, Leonard.
I'm Matt.
I'm Andrew.
And we like Community.
We do.
And if you like Community and you'd like to hear us talk about it every week, you can go to BenviewNetwork.com/ShutUpLeonard.
You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider. Shut up, Leonard.
Pop, pop.